Mixing is more fun with the brand new Slurpee Mix Maker Cup and Straw. Make your mix today, only at 7-Eleven.
After August 2nd. The father of terror suspect Anders Breivik says rather than killing all those people in Norway, his son should have killed himself. He believes his son is mentally ill. Authorities will release the names of some of the 76 victims today. The post office in your neighborhood may not be around much longer. CNN's John Fricke says thousands could be closing soon.
The U.S. Postal Service lost $8.5 billion last year, and this year might be worse. The fallout will be seen Tuesday when a list is released of 3,653 post office branches that might be shut down. Most that could close are in smaller towns where the USPS says it cannot afford to keep a branch open.
New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft says U.S. lawmakers could learn a thing or two from the NFL after the lockout ended Monday.
I hope we gave a little lesson to the people in Washington because the debt crisis is a lot easier to fix than this deal was.
NFL players and owners agreed to a new 10-year deal. I'm Bill Caiaccio. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Mike Rowe here with Jim Twitchell. Jim, you're a... What are you?
I'm a senior master technician, Mike.
You've been with Ford now for how long?
24 years is where I'm at.
I don't think it's possible that anyone who's listening to this right now hasn't noticed the price of fuel is outrageous. Ford says the works can more than pay for itself. What does that mean?
The works fuel saver package is an excellent value. It more than pays for itself in fuel economy by checking your tire pressures and by making sure that you have the proper grade of oil and making sure that everything is running and operating smoothly.
Save money on gas with the works fuel saver package. This includes an oil change, tire rotation, brake check, multi-point inspection, and more. Just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate. Only $29.95.
So what Ford is telling me really is a very, very sensible thing.
As we all know, gas prices are high. I don't know about you, but it gets a little tight on the pocket.
What are you waiting for? Gas ain't getting cheaper.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 8/31/11. Claim based on EPA averages.
McDonald's makes a proactive move for children's health, or it caves to a French fry mountain of criticism. Take whatever you want from it, but the largest restaurant chain in the world is adding an item to each and every U.S. Happy Meal, an additional fruit or vegetable in every box. Also, the Chicago Tribune reports Happy Meal French fry portion sizes will get smaller, beginning in September in some locales, nationwide by spring 2012. A much better spring quarter for BP this year than last year. Spring 2010, the oil giant lost $17 billion. That's when the Gulf oil spill was going on. This year, BP reports it swung to a profit of $5.6 billion. But that fell short of forecast in large part because much of its production in the Gulf was still down. It was still making payments related to the spill's aftermath, and taxes were higher. Japan's Nikkei rose 0.5%. European index is positive. S&P futures down 0.5%. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout and think a few attacks a year are all you have to worry about, think again. Fact is, gout can attack silently, even between flares. You may not feel it, but gout's root cause, high uric acid, can allow crystals to continuously form and build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. Get more information at goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
My daughter swims like she's part fish. But when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There are lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Now we both breathe easier.
What if I told you buying a good used car just got a whole lot easier? And what if you could know the history, mileage, and price of that used car long before you even go to the dealership? Well, here's the answer. Simply go online and search Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make an informed decision. Feels good to be in control, doesn't it? Okay, no more questions. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
A sage business knows costs don't control themselves.
Every dollar we spend on the business is an investment in the business. We just want to be investing wisely.
A sage business knows how to control costs by integrating Sage Financial Software with Sage Connected Services for e-marketing and online payments.
We run our business on Sage because it gives us the insights we need to keep costs low and profits high.
Make your business life easier. Visit sagebusinessknows.com to learn how to make your business sage.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Solidarity. A union of interests or purposes or sympathies among members of a group. Union. The state of being united. An organization of workers. Justice. The administering of deserved punishment or reward. Fairness, free from dishonesty or injustice. Equality, the state of quality being equal. First Shift with Tony Tripiano. It's about freaking time.
Morning, everybody. Tony Tripiano on this Tuesday morning. Have we lost confidence in our government yet? Are you feeling like they're just not getting it? Do you think that we're fighting a battle that can't be won? Do you understand that we are now embroiled in a situation that should have never happened to begin with because the Republican Party, in their infinite wisdom, believes that their ideology, being held hostage by 87 Tea Party freshmen in Congress, doesn't have the leadership in John Boehner they needed? Have you figured all that out yet? And good morning to you. You know, what a way to have to start our day. This is not the way I want to start my day. I can tell you that without any compunction at all. I hate that we are doing this yet another day. And I find no reason to believe, especially after we listen to some of the audio we're going to hear this morning, that we have any reason to believe that things are going to get better today at all. And this showdown that, culminates next Tuesday can be quite problematic. So we're going to just see what happens. It's been a mess. 888-552-3595. Am I alone in feeling this way? I don't think so. I truly don't think so. We're going to find out, again, that the 14th Amendment is not an option. And why that is, well, we'll hear it, but I'm not buying it. And we know that the Republicans are the party of no. Even after the president gives them what they want, they say no to it. And is it about credit? I don't know. This is insane. This is absolutely asinine. It is absolutely asinine. But good morning to all of you, and I'm glad to be here. It's not that I'm not glad to be here. I am, and had a pretty crazy busy day yesterday, glad that it's Tuesday. All of our guests are in studio today. And Radford, I don't think we've ever had wall-to-wall in-studio guests before, so it's a new experience for us.
Should be fun.
I hope so. Hoping it doesn't get too crowded in here. I got two guests in the 7 o'clock hour, Roscoe Woods and Larry Miller from the American Postal Workers Union. They've got some serious problems, Jeff. We're going to find out in this hour. And it's not that they don't have the proper funding. It's that Congress is actually holding their money hostage. When you hear the story, you're going to be outraged. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Chris Mihalakis will be with us in the 8 o'clock hour. Talk about seniority today and how that fits into the bigger picture. Just in our ongoing effort to want to educate you. But can you imagine, here's part of the deal with the American Postal Workers Union. They have to fund, and they, by the way, they are the only entity in the world that has to do this. They have to pre-fund their retirement account. They have to pre-fund it. So that means they have to project what it's going to cost, and they have to put that money in the bank so that the money is guaranteed to be there when their workers go to retire, okay? But they're the only entity in the country that has to do that. Corporations don't have to do that. Other government entities don't have to do that. Yet they have overfunded. You ready for this, Jeff? They've overfunded that account
yet Congress won't let them have that money to use to offset the deficiencies they have in their operating fund. How insane is that? It's just crazy. It's just crazy. What did our Tigers do last night? They lost, didn't they?
6-3.
Why are you being so quiet today?
Oh, I don't know. I was just letting that sink in.
All right.
The fact that they put money away and then you're not allowed to touch it.
Well, I mean, they've overfunded the retirement account. It's overfunded, which means they have way more than enough money in there to take care of their needs into the foreseeable future. And so they have an operating loss. So all they were saying to Congress was, give us that money that we've overfunded so that we can plug that hole, and then we're whole again. Then everything's fine. And yeah. Congress said no.
I don't know if you've been – I know you've been watching. Congress isn't the best with money right now.
Wow. I mean,
Congress wants to hold on to as much money as they can right now.
Yeah. You know, again, and we'll talk about this, obviously, as we work our way through the hour today. But Jeff, this is about paying the bills for money you've already spent. It's not about spending more money.
No. It's all about Obama, and he spent, obviously, he spent $14 trillion in the last 2 days or 3 days or whatever it is.
Yeah, right.
They want to lay the entire thing on his feet. And yet it is. It's about something that's already happened and just being able to sign the check at the end of the meal. And they're not going to let him do it.
Oh, man. It gives you a headache. You know, and the worst part is we don't see, you know, not unlike at the state level, we're not seeing anything that gets us closer to better employment numbers. We see that people are still not finding work. We see that we're not hiring. We see that unemployment continues to go up. So the economy's not getting better. We're not hiring. There's no demand for products and services. Corporations are experiencing record profits because they're not spending the money that they have. It's crazy. Does my mic sound a little hot to you today?
No.
All right. I think my headphones might be up too high. I'll take care of that on my end. Anyway, yes, our Tigers lost last night. And, you know, in a game that I really needed, because I'm going to go back to this one more time, I'd like some distance. Did Cleveland win last night?
Yeah, they did.
So we've now just, what, one game up on them? Are we tied?
No, yeah, we're still ahead.
All right, just by one game, though.
Right.
All right, well, you know, it's one game, I get it. But, you know, I needed them to win. I need them to win every night. What's wrong with me? And I know they can't win every night, but still, it would have been nice to had a W in the W column.
Especially against the White Sox. I'm getting sick of losing to those chumps.
Yeah, because they're not a very good baseball team this year.
Well, I mean, they're only 3.5 behind the Tigers.
But they're still not a very good baseball team. They've been very streaky. Very, very streaky. And I don't know. I'm just disappointed. I'm disappointed that we didn't win last night. Of course, I'm very happy that football will begin its insanity today, if it didn't yesterday. But today is really when the insanity begins. I don't know how the hell they're going to do all this in 2 weeks. Then actually, the reality is it's probably going to be closer to a couple days, right?
Actually, today you can start signing your the guys that you drafted, the rookies, the rookie free agents, stuff like that. And then by Friday is when the crazy insanity happens. That's when they can sign all the free agents, Asamoah and all those guys. So, and they start reporting to camp on Wednesday. Some teams will report on Wednesday through Sunday, and it just takes off from Friday.
Well, and I know that 2 weeks from Friday is the first preseason game. For everybody, or Saturday for some, but it's going to be a whirlwind. I mean, it's going to be nonstop football chatter. I don't see us picking up any big names in free agency, to be honest with you. I just do, you know, I don't think we have the salary cap room, number one. And I just don't think we're going to make that kind of commitment, nor do I think we need to, although, you know, I read a little article in the paper yesterday that said, because of our D-line, we may be able to get some good free agent linebackers because, you know, they're going to want to play with a defensive line like that.
Yeah, that'll help the defense out, not only linebackers, but I'm hoping, you know, it depends on what you think a big name is. I don't think Asamoah, obviously. But,
No.
But Jonathan Joseph would be nice for a cornerback. Re-signing Chris Houston would be nice. So, you know, it'd be nice to shore up the defensive backfield.
You think we're going to re-sign Houston? I do.
I don't. I just don't feel like, you know, I think obviously they want to. I think he's going to test the market. And when you see Asamoah sign, when you see Jonathan Joseph sign, and a couple of other cornerbacks sign, and he becomes like the top of the heap, he's going to, you know, use that in his advantage. He's looking for a big deal, you know. And I don't know that the Lions, you know, if I'm the Lions, I go after like Jonathan Joseph first, and to pay that kind of money for that guy instead of, you know, giving it to a guy like Chris Houston, because I kind of value Joseph more than Houston.
Well, and I would agree with you. And, you know, so, well, you know, a lot of it is how much stuff of his agents put in his head, too. You know, listen, I realize it's, especially in football, you got to go where the biggest contract is, because a football career can end tomorrow.
And they're not guaranteed contracts.
No, they're not guaranteed contracts. So you've got to go for that signing bonus. It's really about the signing bonus and really that first year. You know, you really get your signing bonus in your first year. Can we safely say that if you break camp, your first year's guaranteed?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that's basically it. The rest of the contract is kind of here, you know, willy-nilly here and there. So we'll see what happens. But it'll be exciting. I know that my son Anthony was just beside himself with joy yesterday.
Really, I didn't feel any different. People were, you know, celebrating like something big happened, and it's like I just kind of figured that football would eventually come about anyway. Like, it didn't feel like a time to celebrate something.
I realize we got to get to break, because in this conversation won't take long. Do you honestly believe there will not be a basketball season this year? I mean, no basketball at all?
Not at all. I think they'll definitely miss games, though. They're looking worse than the NFL situation. I think actually a lot of NBA players will end up going to Europe for a little while.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't play basketball this year. I really would not. That would not surprise me. But we'll see what happens. All right, we got to take a break here. You think they'll play, huh?
Not in the NBA.
No,
they'll play
okay.
In Europe, though.
No, I agree with that. 888-552-3525. Debt ceiling. Debt ceiling. Two words I've begun to hate. What are your thoughts? Give us a call. I'm Tony Truppiano. Thanks for punching in with First Shift this Tuesday morning. We got a lot to get to. We're going to take the break and be back right after this on 1310 WDTW.
Tony Triano. And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update is all pretty good news right now. Heading east on the Ruthers, you come off of 275. You can head toward M10 Telegraph, toward Southfield Road, 75, all of that moving great. In fact, you can go all the way out to Van Dyke and I-94 and find at this time in the morning, all of the Ruther is looking pretty good.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly sunny today, our high near 85. Tonight, though, it'll be clear, a low of 63. Tomorrow, more sun and a high near 85. Right now, it's mostly cloudy and 67 degrees at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
It is the policy of 1310 WDTW to provide equal employment opportunity to all qualified individuals without regard to their race, color, religion, national origin, sex, age, disability, sexual orientation, or any other characteristic protected by law in all personnel actions. If your organization distributes information about employment opportunities to job seekers, please contact Maureen O'Reilly at 1310 WDTW. By calling 248-324-5800 or writing to her at 27675 Halsted Road, Farmington Hills, Michigan, 48331. Or check our website at 1310wdtw.com for more details.
Start your engines, Detroit, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is cruising your way.
Take him to Detroit.
These progressive pistons are firing on all cylinders, and they're born, bred, and made in the USA. On August 20th at the Detroit Opera House, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and Motor City's favorite cougar, Stephanie Miller, will spark up your night and heal you with their full-torque progressive power. Tickets are available at motopera.org and ticketmaster.com. To call for tickets, dial 313-237-SING. That's 313-237-SING.
Score your VIP tickets early for the best seats to witness Mama model her tight, sexy tee.
I want to get back to Michigan, and I want to try.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Detroit, you just can't afford to miss this.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the teeming rains of India, nor the snows of Kilimanjaro, nor the glare of the paparazzi at a Hollywood opening can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us, love us.
At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after the hour, and welcome back to this Tuesday morning program. Well, the President and the Speaker of the House both addressed the nation last night. The President basically saying, America, I need your help. And what happened? Well, America crashed the servers at Congress. They absolutely dismantled them. In fact, our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day is simply, will you right now commit to calling Congress today and tell them to do the right thing? It's right there. I even put the phone number in the poll question. You need to call. Can't imagine nobody's going to say no to that. No, come on. I'm going to call after the show. It's time. We need to get this thing put behind us. We really do need to put this thing behind us. Before we get to some audio, very quickly for the early morning crowd, you heard the commercial. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Tour is coming to Detroit on August 20th. I will be involved. I will be introducing Stephanie the night at the Detroit Opera Theater and looking forward to being a part of the festivities. I want to let you know, if you go to Ticketmaster.com and look for your Stephanie Miller tickets, if you put in the code word lefty, L-E-F-T-Y, you can get 4 tickets for the price of 3, and that's only available for this audience. So if you plan to go to the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Tour on August 20th, and you want to get a little bit of a deal, that's the only way it's going to happen. Now, I'm going to have some tickets to give away, but it's not going to be until right before the concert, and I have a very limited number of tickets because they've been selling out all over the country. And Jeff, as I was telling you yesterday, a very, very well-known celebrity has made some noise that he or she will be there.
And how did he or she find out about this?
By listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
That's one of the coolest things. When you told me yesterday, I was blown away.
Yes.
That he or she listens to the program, and I was like, that is the coolest thing in the world.
Absolutely. And this is a major celebrity. And then come to find out after I spoke to you, because you were doing your show in Ann Arbor yesterday, I talked to the tour director for Stephanie Miller, and they have had more than one big name listening to the show, interested in coming. So, people are listening. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing.
Wouldn't mind having some of those big names call in.
Well, you know, maybe they will someday. Who knows?
Hey,
Who knows? That's
what I'm saying. Don't be afraid.
All right.
We don't bite.
Well, we don't bite, but maybe they should be afraid. After what we've been going through the last couple of weeks at the federal level, Jeff, maybe we should all be afraid. Let's get our audio menu going. President Obama explaining what's happening to the American people last night. Let's hit it.
We're left with a stalemate. Now, what makes today's stalemate so dangerous is that it has been tied to something known as the debt ceiling, a term that most people outside of Washington have probably never heard of before. Understand, raising the debt ceiling does not allow Congress to spend more money. It simply gives our country the ability to pay the bills that Congress has already racked up. In the past, raising the debt ceiling was routine. Since the 1950s, Congress has always passed it, and every president has signed it. President Reagan did it 18 times. George W. Bush did it 7 times. And we have to do it by next Tuesday, August 2nd, or else we won't be able to pay all of our bills. Unfortunately, for the past several weeks, Republican House members have essentially said that the only way they'll vote to prevent America's first ever default is if the rest of us agree to their deep spending cuts only approach. If that happens, and we default, we would not have enough money to pay all of our bills. Bills that include monthly Social Security checks, veterans benefits, and the government contracts we've signed with thousands of businesses. For the first time in history, our country's AAA credit rating would be downgraded, leaving investors around the world to wonder whether the United States is still a good bet. Interest rates would skyrocket on credit cards, on mortgages, and on car loans, which amounts to a huge tax hike on the American people. We would risk sparking a deep economic crisis, this one caused almost entirely by Washington. So defaulting on our obligations is a reckless and irresponsible outcome to this debate. And Republican leaders say that they agree we must avoid default. But the new approach that Speaker Boehner unveiled today, which would temporarily extend the debt ceiling in exchange for spending cuts, would force us to once again face the threat of default just 6 months from now. In other words, it doesn't solve the problem.
And it doesn't solve the problem. That is true. Now, listen, after the break, and we're going to talk about the president for a bit. After the break, we'll listen to what Speaker John Boehner had to say. The problem is, you know, we've now had, and we didn't need but 5 minutes to realize that the speaker's response, and again, we'll get to that in a moment, so I don't want to get into that too much now, is based on a bunch of misinformation. Jeff, as we take a look at what the president had to say, not only last night, but Friday night, and I think it's now 4 times in the last 2 weeks, he has gone to the American people and said, I need your help. And last night he said, I really need your help. And so he's asking people to reach out to their members of Congress, which they did via email in a massive way. As I told you, they brought down their mail server yesterday. But at some level, don't you think that people are now, even if you're a Republican, starting to understand that it's the Republicans that continue to block the process?
I don't think the Republicans realize that. If you're hardcore, you're you know, standing by your party. It's funny because the polls that I saw watching CNN yesterday say that Republicans want their leaders to stick to their guns, which is what they're doing. They're not compromising. But it's becoming clear every time that Obama speaks, he's even, I mean, we'll hear from David Plouffe later.
Plouffe.
He says later on that, you know, you're going to get what you want. The Reid plan basically doesn't have the tax hikes that you know the Republicans are against, and it matches the how you know as high as they raise the debt ceiling, there's going to be cuts that will match that, which is the two things that the Republicans want, and yet they can't say yes to that. They can't say yes to anything.
And you know why they can't say yes to that?
Because it's a Democrat idea.
That's it. But their reasoning behind it is because they're not cutting more. Then the debt limit will go up. It would be an even amount. And so, I mean, can we say ridiculous? Because it's not going to be, you know, give them a dollar more then. You know, just a dollar. See, that's just it. This is why the Republican Party has become known as the party of no.
Well, and even still, it's like they just want to do it right now. I mean, this deal is for right now so that you don't default. And then it says 5 or 6 months down the road, we can, you know, work on getting rid of the debt more. But let's just get rid of the problem right now, and that's not good enough.
Well, you had said this morning when we were discussing this, and you were 100% correct, that they're the ones that's saying that they don't want to kick the can down the road, but their plan kicks the can down the road.
Yeah, they want a second vote on it.
Right.
Right before the election, so that they can rub it in the face again and make the Democrats look like they're begging for more help from the Republicans.
Right, and the irony of that is they keep on saying that the president has politicized this for campaign purposes, when indeed they have politicized it for campaign purposes because they want to be able to pull this out right before the election and say, all right, we got to have this conversation one more time. Making the president look bad, right? Well, no, not really, because he's not going to sign it. There's more to get to. When we continue, John Boehner's response to what the president had to say. And there's plenty to say about Boehner's response, I assure you. We will take a very quick break here. If you care to join us, 888-552-3595. I'm truly going to be entertained by John Boehner's response. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update looking pretty good right now. Drivers through Macomb County along I-94 heading in towards 696. That's moving along pretty well. Not yet seeing heavy traffic as you try to get onto the Ruther or past it. In fact, you can head further west on 94 down toward Maross or trying to come in toward Van Dyke and in towards 75, and it all looks great.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly sunny today. Our high near 85. Tonight, though, it'll be clear, a low of 63. Tomorrow, more sun and a high near 85. Right now, it's mostly cloudy and 67 degrees at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
2011 was a good year for Chevy, but don't take our word for it. 5 IIH stop safety picks, a bunch of prestigious awards, and 2011 North American Car of the Year, the Chevy Model Year Wrap-Up. Get in on our greatest model year yet.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
The NFL lockout has ended as the NFL Players Association reached a 10-year agreement with owners. NFLPA President Kevin Mowey.
We always said throughout this process that we would do a deal when it's right and when it's the right deal, and our players did that. We stuck it out to the end, we fought our ground, and we worked, you know, with the owners to get a deal that we feel was fair for everybody. I'm thankful for our players who stood together. You know, we stood strong in a time of uncertainty, but more importantly, I want to thank the fans. Through the roller coaster rides, 2 years out till today, you guys have stuck with us. We're here to tell you football's back. It's back for the long term.
BMW is uniting four unions as it outsources some union jobs. Jesse Russell reports.
Four unions spanning the Atlantic have come together in solidarity to protest plans by BMW to start outsourcing jobs at a distribution center in Ontario, California. Last Thursday, members of the Teamsters, International Longshoremen's Association, the United Auto Workers, and United Kingdom's Unite the Union held rallies throughout their countries calling on BMW to preserve the 100 middle-class jobs. The plan is to shut down the facility, fire the current employees, and reopen it the following day with outsourced and inexperienced employees. The unions are uniting to ask the company to postpone the plan for 3 months so a win-win alternative can be developed. The workers at the Ontario plant are represented by the Teamsters, but the ILA and UAW have both experienced similar tactics employed by BMW in the last 2 years. Last quarter, the luxury automaker saw its highest earnings in 95 years. Additionally, the company was one of a number of foreign automakers to receive billions under the Bush administration's Troubled Asset Relief Program.
The International Longshore and Warehouse Union, Local 21, is fighting to save union jobs at the EGT Development Grain Terminal at the Port of Longview, Washington. Hundreds of ILWU workers blocked a mile-long train from moving grain to the anti-union EGT Grain Terminal on July 14th. About 100 ILWU members were arrested for criminal trespassing. ILWU Local 21 President Dan Kaufman says labor is being attacked all over the country, with it starting in Wisconsin and now moving to the West Coast. Kaufman says the union has worked the dock at Longview for 70 years and won't let a big, rich corporation come in and just say they will no longer honor the legal agreement to hire ILWU members. According to the port, EGT is violating its lease with the Port of Longview by ousting ILWU members to replace them with other workers. The ILWU is joining the Port of Longview in a lawsuit against the owners of the EGT Development Grain Terminal. This newscast was made possible in part by the National Education Association and by AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Truppiano. And First Shift, First Shift, First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
Welcome back. It is 35 minutes after the hour on a Tuesday morning. Debt ceiling, debt ceiling, debt ceiling. John Boehner, the Republican, the Speaker of the House, in response to the president's remarks last night.
President Obama came to Congress in January and requested business as usual. He had another routine increase in the national debt, but we in the House said, not so fast. Here was the president asking for the largest debt increase in American history on the heels of the largest spending binge in American history. And here's what we got for that massive spending binge. A new health care bill that most Americans never asked for. A stimulus bill that's more effective in producing material for late-night comedians than it was in producing jobs. And a national debt that has gotten so out of hand, it sparked a crisis without precedent in my lifetime or yours. The United States cannot default on its debt obligations. The jobs and savings of too many Americans are at stake. What we told the president in January was this, that the American people will not accept an increase in the debt limit without significant spending cuts and reforms. And over the last 6 months, we've done our best to convince the president to partner with us to do something dramatic to change the fiscal trajectory of our country, something that will boost confidence in our economy, renew a measure of faith in our government, and help small businesses get back on track. Last week, the House passed such a plan, and with bipartisan support. It's called the Cut, Cap, and Balance Act. It cuts and caps government spending and paves the way for a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution, which we believe is the best way to stop Washington from spending money that it doesn't have. Before we even passed the bill in the House, the president said he would veto it. I want you to know I made a sincere effort to work with the president to identify a path forward that would implement the principles of cut, cap, and balance in a manner that could secure bipartisan support and be signed into law. And I'll tell you, I gave it my all. Unfortunately, the president would not take yes for an answer. Even when we thought we might be close on an agreement, the president's demands changed. The president has often said we need a balanced approach, which in Washington means we spend more and you pay more. Having run a small business, I know those tax increases will destroy jobs. The president is adamant that we cannot make fundamental changes to our entitlement programs. As a father of two daughters, I know these programs won't be there for them and their kids unless significant action is taken now.
And fundamentally untrue, wrong, however way you want to put it. Now, it seems clear to me at this point, as we listen to what the president said, we've listened to what the speaker said, that they obviously are, there's this huge divide. We know that. We don't need to go on and comment on and on and on about it. I will say this. The speaker fundamentally doesn't get that when the president says, I'm not going to sign something, he means I'm not going to sign something. So when you are told that I'm not going to sign something, and yet you continue to bring back the same piece of legislation that I've already told you I'm not going to sign, don't paint it as something new when it's not. Putting lipstick on the pig doesn't change the fact that it's a pig. Doesn't it just, feral swine again.
Doesn't it just seem like Boehner thinks he's got the president over a barrel?
Well, that's the funny thing. And you know, Jeff, and people can go online and fact check me on this one. A CBS producer overhears the speaker saying, after he gives his remarks yesterday, overhears the speaker saying, you know, I didn't sign up for this going mano a mano with the president every day. Well, you know, what leadership is tough, huh, Jeff?
Well, it, you know what? It seems like he's in, at times, I guess, it seems like he's enjoying it.
Smug. Yes, very less, smug. You're right.
He seems like he wants to be like, you know, President 1B to Obama's 1A.
And it's well,
like,
what did he say yesterday? I have the same responsibilities as the President of the United States, right. Which is, of course, fundamentally a lie as well.
Yeah, exactly. They've got one portion of the government, the House, right? And
yes,
Democrats
of
have
course.
The Senate and the White House. And yet they're holding on. They're with their tight, you know, grip on the little bit of power that they have, and they're the ones that are causing the roadblock for this entire thing. I mean, I don't think it's you've said it a couple of times, and yet I still don't think it's stressed enough nationally that this whole debt ceiling should not be related to the debt, the national debt at all. And it's like they have a little bit of power, so they're going to hold on to this debt ceiling thing so that they can get, so they can make the Democrats look bad with the national debt.
Well, they've created this illusion of power. You know, again, how many times do we have to have the conversation, Jeff, about the multiple times past presidents have raised the debt ceiling? You know, doesn't that tell us that this is kind of a routine exercise? You know, it tells us that this is a routine exercise. So in order for the Republicans to make it an issue, they had to politicize it, which they did. Now, very quickly, because I want to do this before we get to the break, Chris Matthews of Hardball on MSNBC doesn't like the way either side is playing the game, but I have issues with Chris Matthews, so go ahead and let's play that first.
I think there's some concern in the media, our media, about that. He asked for time in prime time to go on national television. Usually presidents only ask for that when they want to make an announcement, to make news, as you put it. But clearly he did not tonight. In fact, he openly stated this is a debate that he's engaged in, not a newsmaking event. And I think that's why the networks chose, I think wisely, to give the opposition its turn. But it did put the president almost on an equal level. Obviously, technically, you saw the advantages of the White House press corps and the operation there, Walker. They knew how to put a press together. Poor Speaker Boehner, once again, it was one of those slipshod operations by the Republicans. He was looking off north by northwest or somewhere in some something up in the air there. I'm not sure what it was, but clearly it wasn't the normal sort of presentation where you look at the camera. And by the way, I still don't know why they keep imitating the president by putting a podium up, a lectern, acting like they're addressing the nation, like they're the president. He'd be far better off doing what Nixon did years ago with the checker speech, just stand in front of a desk like an average person, lean against, put his butt against the back, the front of the desk, and talk like a regular person to other regular people. But they continue to try to pretend they're some sort of counter-bully pulpit when they're not that. So I think both sides blew it in terms of format tonight. The president shouldn't have gone on national television to give a political address, and I don't think the opposition did much in matching it.
Well, you know, and Chris Matthews, you just wasted a bunch of airtime on a conversation that's irrelevant. He created an issue that doesn't exist. The networks had the option of telling the president no. They didn't do that. They knew what he was going to say. They had his remarks in advance. So why would you even go on air and say something like that? I mean, you know, Jeff, I don't understand what the point of him saying that was. Is he trying to make himself look neutral or something? I don't. Do you understand the point of that?
I like the point about Boehner. I don't know about the, you know, Obama. I guess I kind of agree with both points a little bit. The fact that, you know, that it was a debate. It wasn't like, you know, that when you go on national TV, when you take over all the networks, and you know, I guess they said that normally you make an announcement, something happens,
right,
some big news.
Right.
He did say, you know, it's a debate, so then you got to put both sides on there. I didn't know, you know, I didn't know exactly what the point of that was. But then looking at Boehner's point, or the point about Boehner, it like I said, it seems like the Republicans want to put up, like, he's got as much power, so they put him behind a, behind a podium, just like the president, and act like, okay, you know, now here's our president's voice or whatever. And that's ridiculous.
Well, it is ridiculous. I mean, that part I got. I couldn't wrap my head around what he was trying to do. I want to skip one of the pieces of audio. Let's go to the American people talking about it being embarrassed.
It's embarrassing. If we hold ourselves out as a premier country in the entire world, and we can't even manage a budget, which every responsible family does. And here our national government looks like Curling Moe and Larry or the Marx Brothers.
Now's a time where people have to check their egos at the door, as people say, and, you know, come together regardless of what party they're from, because it's got to get done.
You know, and I, Jeff, I agree with the second half of that more than I do the first half, because this isn't just about managing your budget, because the budget isn't manageable. That's a very different conversation. The debt ceiling, again, has no relationship to the national debt. You know, that number, that $14.3 trillion, there is no relationship between the two. You know, the debt ceiling is about being able to pay your bills. That's what it's about. So, I it just proves to me that the American people still don't 100% get this. What they do get is that the president's a balanced approach, which does involve increasing revenue, which, by the way, is not part of the Reid-McConnell bill in any way, shape, or form, would make everybody but the progressives happy. Of course, the Republicans, Jeff, as you said a little earlier, aren't going to do it because it's not their idea.
That's it. I mean, the funny thing is when it is their idea, and then the Democrats are like, okay, you know, let's go back to your idea. Then they're like, wait a minute, you like that? No, we don't like it anymore then.
It really does seem that way.
If the Democrats say they like something, no matter what it is, they could say, we love Abe Lincoln, Ronald Reagan, and spending cuts or whatever. And then all of a sudden the Republicans are like, well, you know what? We don't like those anymore.
Well, that's the funny thing is President Obama actually invokes the spirit of Ronald Reagan and quotes him last night in his speech. MSNBC tried to get a sitting member, a Republican member of Congress, to come on air and comment on that quote, and they couldn't get one Republican to comment on that. Not one. Jeff, think about that. Ronald Reagan is their holy grail. Remember that Bill Maher thing we watched yesterday morning? Where they said, you know, all you have to do is throw the name Ronald Reagan in there and Republicans love it? Not so much. You know, not so much with this situation.
I was watching CNN, and I can't remember who it was, but they brought it up to a Republican sitting member of Congress, and they just, you know, sidestepped the question. I mean, they actually did bring it up to him, but again, he didn't answer it. So,
well, right, and they literally could not get one member of Congress, either a senator or a congressman, to come on air and talk about Ronald Reagan's quote used by President Barack Obama. You have to wonder what this current group of Republicans serving the country. And if you put Ronald Reagan against that record, would he be a raving lunatic liberal? It's hard to say at this point. 888-552-3595. We've got more audio. This is the situation is out of control. It's out of control. Anyway, we'll take the break here. I'm Tony Truppiano, Michigan's only truly progressive talk show. We'll be back. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
They want to see two girls come together and have a mud wrestling fight. And I think that this race is wide open.
On 1310
WDTW. Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Hey, Detroit. Hey, Motor City, it's Mama talking to you. That's right, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Detroit. Yes, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour starring me, John Fugelsang, and Aisha Tyler hits the Detroit Opera House Saturday, August 20th at 8 p.m. Go to sexyliberal.com to get tickets or go right to the box office at Detroit Opera House. It's stand-up, it's panel, it's Q&A. It's a Sexy Liberal Town Hall. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show. Can't wait to see Detroit. Sexyliberal.com. Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Truppiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
I love bagels.
Who doesn't? But finding a really good, genuine bagel used to be so hard.
Till now.
The Detroit Institute of Bagels is bringing true bagels back to Detroit. Head over to
www.savethebagels.com.
Then donate and try some bagels today. Traditional bagels such as poppy seed and plain. Small batch bagels like rosemary and dried cherry chocolate. They have it all at www.savethebagels.com.
The Detroit Institute of Bagels, the start of something locally delicious. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Now here's Tony.
Yeah, welcome back. Sure, why not? Here's Tony. I'm sitting here during the break, and I'm just getting mad, and I hate starting out my day like this. I really do. This pisses me off. It pisses me off. To no end, it pisses me off. Man. All right. David Paloofy, whatever you want to call him, Obama's dude, had something to say about all this stuff that's going on. And let's just start with the first piece of audio, Jeff.
Well, it's a my way or the highway approach, and that's not going to help us solve our deficit problems, and it's certainly not going to allow us to avoid this default crisis. So in the next few days, we need the Republicans in the House to understand they're going to get a lot of what they want, a lot of spending cuts. Washington is now committed to reducing the deficit, but we can't have a my way or the highway approach. And so if we'll just be reasonable here and compromise, and that's how most things in our country's history have gotten done, we'll be able to get through this default crisis, make a big down payment on the deficit, and then have the discussion the country needs to have over the next 5 or 6 months about balancing our budget and reducing our deficit, as the president said tonight, in a balanced way, not asking everything of college students and middle-class families or senior citizens, but also asking something of the wealthiest big corporations who are enjoying special tax treatment.
Okay. Oh, God, I don't even know where to begin with this one. I don't like the dialogue that's coming out of the president's office. I don't like the dialogue that's coming from the West Wing. I just don't like it. I'm not feeling comfortable with it. And this next piece of audio, we might as well go ahead and play it because this really pisses me off.
Listen, there are no off-ramps here. There are no exits. Congress has to do its job. And so it's unfathomable that over the next 5-6 days, maybe sooner, if sanity prevails, there'll be a compromise struck that allows us, again, to make sure the country understands America will pay its obligations. And again, this isn't about paying for future spending. We've put on the credit card, Congress has put on the credit card spending they have to pay for. Now, in this effort to reduce the deficit, what we're saying is let's stop putting so much on the credit card. And the great thing, if you want to be an optimist, is there's huge consensus in Washington in each party that we need to reduce the deficit. And actually, we all generally agree by how much to reduce it. So we're just debating about how to do it.
All right. Now, Jeff, you labeled that as the 14th Amendment is not an option. Yeah. I didn't hear that.
That's when he was saying there's no exit ramps. They asked him specifically, okay, well, what about the 14th Amendment? And he says there's no exit ramps. We're basically going to trust Congress that they're going to do their job.
All right. Now, this is where maybe you and I will disagree just a little bit. I think we agree in totality. We don't agree with what he said, though. I think what he was saying there is, we're not going to use the 14th Amendment because we're going to force Congress to make a decision. So maybe it's semantics. Because that's what I heard him say. I heard him say, we're going to make Congress do their job. So that no off-ramp is saying, if we do that, if we do the 14th Amendment, we let Congress off the hook. Will you allow me that one?
Yeah. I mean, either way, what I labeled it is they're not going to use the 14th Amendment. I mean, it's just not an option for them.
Well, it's not an option for them today.
Well, yeah, I guess. And when August 1st comes around, that's kind of how I think Piers Morgan was doing the interview. He said, well, what happens when August 1st comes around, when you're right up against the deadline? And obviously right now they're not going to admit that, yeah, okay, when August 1st comes around, then we'll bring it out. I mean, right now they want to make it the threat out there that, no, we're not going to use it. We're going to force them to do what they're paid to do.
Yeah, that's the way I want to hear it, so I'm going to hear it that way. I'll just be honest with you. That's the way I want to hear that. Man, oh, man. Jeff, this is just insane. I really can't remember a time, in my adult life where we have had politics take such a turn for destruction. Because where this is headed is not healthy for the country. It's not healthy for the American mindset. It's not healthy for a global economy. And there's nothing healthy about this at all. This is very troublesome and problematic.
It's like a giant game of chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
And who's going to turn the heads first? I mean, either way, if somebody doesn't make a move, then they're going to blame the other side.
Well, I get that, but I'd like to think the American people are awake enough. Now, listen, I have literally in front of me 6 or 7, and I'm not exaggerating, different polls that shows that the American people, eight different polls that show the American people want a balanced approach. And not, they're all over the place. Some of them are 52%. They're all in the majority, by the way. Some of them are 52%. Some of them are as high as 65% of the American people say, yes, we want a balanced approach where we decrease spending, but we increase revenue. Okay? That's what people want. They want the debt ceiling increased because it's something that's going to have to happen anyway. And, you know, and Jeff, that's really the irony of this whole discussion is the only thing that both sides continue to say with every discussion is, well, of course we're going to raise the debt ceiling. Of course we're not going to let the country go into default, right? They're both saying that.
Exactly.
But they're not saying how. And there's already a simple explanation to doing it. Just take the vote. You know, why don't they just put it out there? Why don't they just put it out there and see what happens? But the Republicans are so afraid of their Tea Party douches. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. That was wrong. But they're so afraid of their Tea Party people that they're afraid to vote to do what you said last week, Jeff, they needed to do, which was vote the way the people they represent want them to vote. Even if half the people in this country want what we know is the right thing to do, then that's enough to get this through. This is just insane.
And you just got to hope that the people who put these people in office, you know how like the Tea Party said, the Tea Party people think that they're a movement, like it's going to continue to grow. Well, if you don't vote the way the people who elected you want you to vote, then your movement is already stopped and it's probably going to get reversed in the next election.
Yeah. I mean, this is just out of control. And again, and I don't know if it's a combination of I'm disgusted, I'm disappointed, I'm a little fearful, I'm angry. There's no question that's true. And again, this is because the Republicans have become the party of no. This is all the Republicans' fault. And again, I don't see this, Jeff, working out where the Republicans are ever going to come out looking good in this situation. I just don't see it happening because the president has not only threatened, he has said repeatedly he will not sign a short-term deal, period.
And there's no creativeness by the Republicans either.
They show no ability to not only not be creative, but to not compromise again. So.
Look, they keep stealing the phrases and words of the Democrats. The first party we heard to say, well, do what's right for the American people and stop politicking, that was the Democrats, and now the Republicans have stolen that. And then last night you heard John Boehner steal the party of just say yes.
Yeah. Well, all right. In the next hour, Larry Miller, Roscoe Woods will join us from the American Postal Workers Union. They've got a situation we need your help on. So when you're calling today to encourage your members of Congress to vote for the debt ceiling increase, we're going to need your help there as well. Let's take the break for the top of the hour. Diane Cross coming up. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update looks pretty good right now. Coming in along M10 from 696 towards Southfield. Getting a bit busier as you head toward the Davison. At times, we can see some slowdowns through there. Grand River heading toward M5. Also have a little construction there off to the left. But looks like no big slowdowns. You can get onto the other freeway heading out to 96 and 696, 275 and be in good shape.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly sunny today. Our high near 85. Tonight, though, it'll be clear, a low of 63. Tomorrow, more sun and a high near 85. Right now, it's mostly cloudy and 67 degrees at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Hey, it's Todd from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Now time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story. It seems like there's more finger-pointing than compromising on the debt limit. President Obama blames Republicans for the lack of a deal.
We're left with a stalemate. Republican House members have essentially said that the only way they'll vote to prevent America's first ever default is if the rest of us agree to their deep spending cuts only approach.
But Republican leaders say it's the president who is not willing to compromise. CNN political analyst David Gergen says most Americans have had it with both parties.
I think the country right now is so tired of the political posturing, and people really want leadership that finds answers and gets us off the edge of a cliff.
The debt ceiling deadline is in 1 week. The suspect in the massacre in Norway claims he was working with two organized terror cells. CNN's Nick Robertson says Anders Breivik hoped to defend his beliefs in court, but Monday's hearing was held in private.
The exact details we don't know, but we do know that the judge has said that he will spend the next 4 weeks, 8 weeks before he comes back to court, but 4 weeks in solitary confinement. No emails, no newspapers, no visitors, barring his lawyer.
Breivik's father says his son should have killed himself instead. Experts worry there could be a similar attack from a domestic terrorist in the U.S. They say the greatest threat comes from radical right-wing extremists, even though Islamic terrorism gets most of the attention. The NFL labor deal is relief for players, owners, and fans. Bookmakers are happy they won't be losing their biggest source of revenue. Johnny Avalo with Wynn Sportsbook in Las Vegas says a shortened season would have been a disaster.
The room revenue would get hurt, and also, you know, cocktail servers, beverage revenue, all of that would be affected.
For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The last thing I need carpooling this lively bunch is a dead battery. The Cirrus Blue Automotive crew offers to check my battery before there's a problem, so I feel confident my car will start every time.
Through July 30th, save on all Goodyear tires and receive up to $80 after mail-in rebate with a purchase of four. Special financing available. And get a $21.99 oil change with coupon and no shop fees. Plus, automotive batteries are as low as $49.98. Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once. Literally, I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
You may have heard that the new Harry Potter movie, The Deathly Hallows Part 2, smashed old records for biggest box office opening day and opening weekend. But the final Potter film has a new record, this one not so hot, the biggest box office drop-off from the opening weekend to the second weekend. It made $47 million this past weekend, $122 million fewer than the weekend before, as Captain America took the top spot. Smaller French fry portions and no more caramel drizzled over the apple slices. A couple of the changes coming to all McDonald's Happy Meals in the U.S. starting this fall and nationwide by next spring. Chicago Tribune reports the biggest change to be unveiled by Mickey D's today is that every Happy Meal will have a fruit or vegetable inside the box, like it or not. After a tough day for markets all across the world, a rebound today. Asian and European markets up modestly. S&P futures up a fraction. NASDAQ futures positive by 2 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout and think a few attacks a year are all you have to worry about, think again. Fact is, gout can attack silently, even between flares. You may not feel it, but gout's root cause, high uric acid, can allow crystals to continuously form and build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. Get more information at goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
My daughter swims like she's part fish. But when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There were lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Now we both breathe easier.
Mike Rowe here with Jim Twitchell. Jim, what are you?
I'm a senior master technician, Mike.
You've been with Ford now for how long?
24 years is where I'm at.
I don't think it's possible that anyone who's listening to this right now hasn't noticed the price of fuel is outrageous. Ford says the works can more than pay for itself. What does that mean?
The works fuel saver package is an excellent value. It more than pays for itself in fuel economy by checking your tire pressures and by making sure that you have the proper grade of oil and making sure that everything is running and operating smoothly.
Save money on gas with the Works Fuel Saver Package. This includes an oil change, tire rotation, brake check, multi-point inspection, and more. Just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate. Only $29.95.
So what Ford is telling me really is a very, very sensible thing.
As we all know, gas prices are high. I don't know about you, but it gets a little tight on the pocket.
What are you waiting for? Gas ain't getting cheaper.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 8/31/11. Claim based on EPA averages.
Every minute matters.
It's about taking action that makes a real difference in real people's lives.
Time to engage.
How's it feel to wake up this morning and be the most hated man in Michigan?
Target locked.
I have a bold vision for Michigan's future.
And people are saying, well, they're getting this huge break. Well, I don't believe that's really true. Shared sacrifice.
Ready the Snyder Fighter.
It is time for a new era. It is time for...
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, everybody, to hour two of this Tuesday First Shift program. I want to thank you all for punching in this morning. I've got a couple guests in studio this hour. Chris Mihalakis with the UFCW live in studio in the next hour. We are, by the way, union, cover to cover today. I'm digging this. Nothing but unions. Great topics, stuff that is going to empower you. As I told you, if you're just joining us in the last hour, you know, we've got a poll question of the day. And basically, the president asked you yesterday to reach out to your members of Congress. And I actually put the switchboard number on the poll question. So I'm asking you the question, will you reach out to them? Will you commit to doing that? I don't just need you to talk to them about the debt ceiling. We're going to give you an issue in this hour. And I need you to take notes because you're going to have to get the House resolution number correct. And you're going to tell them what you want them to support. Here in Michigan, we do have some support, but it's not enough. So we're going to ask you again to reach out to these folks. We're going to get to all that in just a moment. As always, if you want to join us throughout the show, 888-552-3595, the email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. That's tony@thetonyshow.org. I want to remind you, as of yesterday, if you download the iHeart application on your smartphone, on your iPad, on your computer, the show will stream live no matter where you're at. So no more excuses that you can't get the signal. We got you covered. Every way that you can listen to this radio show, we now deliver that delivery method, okay? So don't be telling me, I can't hear it here. Now you can hear it everywhere. All right, so let us get ramped up. Very quickly, Roscoe Woods, who is going to be somebody I'm introducing here in just a moment, the first day the show was on the air, sent me an email, thanked me for, you know, having the show, and has been very supportive. They do a monthly newsletter, and he's made sure that their membership and who they are, you'll find out in a minute, is aware of the program. So I'm appreciative of that. I was approached about this topic, I don't know, a few weeks back. And it's important that you understand what's going on. You'll, of course, those of you that are active on the First Shift Facebook page, know that I had a poll last week, or it was the week before, actually, asking the question, how much of your tax dollars go to support the United States Postal Service? You're a very smart audience. 90-something percent of you knew that zero tax dollars. But that's not the whole story. So let me get to my guests right now. Joining me is Larry Miller, president of the American Postal Workers Union, 480 and 481, and Roscoe Woods, the executive vice president of the APWU as well. Gentlemen, thanks for being with us on First Shift this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, good morning.
No problem. President Miller, we will start with you. Tell us a little bit about the American Postal Workers Union, because there is more than just one union that covers postal workers, and I know that I want people to understand the differentiation there.
That's correct. The American Postal Workers Union represents clerks, motor vehicle, and maintenance. There's also the NALC, the National Association of Letter Carriers. Obviously, they represent the letter carriers. And there's the Mail Handlers Union.
Very good. All right. So, you know, the work that, of course, that, you know, you've got, I don't know, how many members do you have of the Metro Detroit area?
Oh,
We're right about 1,500 in our local alone. The Detroit local's got about 3,000 plus.
Yeah, there's 6,000 or 7,000 probably in the area within the APWU. Also, I forgot to mention the Rural Carriers Association, which we don't have a lot around here on rural America.
Right, right. I remember when I grew up, we had the lady that had the fancy car with the, you know, the modified car. So she could go down all those dirt roads, and so I'm assuming those are the rural the carriers you're talking about.
Those are the rural carriers, correct?
Absolutely. They work as hard as anybody. That's for sure. All right. So, you know, I had said in the last hour, and Roscoe, I'll ask you this question: that you guys have actually overfunded your, I believe it's your retirement account. Is that correct?
The civil service retirement account. Yeah.
All right. Explain to my audience what that means, because this is a significant part of the story we're about to tell.
Yeah, the United States Postal Service has an obligation to pre-fund its retiree benefits, and there's two types of retirees. There's Federal Employee Retirement Service, which were created in, I believe, it was 84 there.
Yes.
And then the civil service retirement, which predates the 1984. The difference real quickly is the civil service, they don't pay Social Security. FERS employees pay Social Security. So a large portion of those retiree benefits, legally the Postal Service has to pre-fund it. So back in 2006, legislation was created which required the Postal Service to pay out a certain amount of money each year to pre-fund that obligation. And in that legislation got the math wrong, and the Postal Service ended up overfunding that account to the tune of some, well, it depends on who you believe, between $50 and $75 billion.
Billion?
Billion.
All right, so you definitely got your butts covered. It's a pretty nasty way of putting it, but you guys have your retirees covered now.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Now, if we project that out, I mean, I don't know how many years that $50 to $75 billion, and again, I want to emphasize that B word, I don't know how many years out that's projected that you have that covered, but the important point here is you obviously can continue to cover that because you have a formula in place, correct?
Yeah, the Postal Service, starting in 2007, was responsible for placing into that account approximately $5.4 billion a year through 2016.
All right, so you know that through 2016 you're more than covered. Now, Larry Miller, I've got to ask you, it seems to me that there's a piece of this isn't making sense to me. You have to pre-fund. Is there anybody else that's required to pre-fund their retirement account?
There's not one organization or company in America besides the U.S. Postal Service that has to pre-fund their employees' future retirement.
So, Larry, how do we end up there? Do we know how that happens?
It happened through some legislation. I'm not sure. Remember what year it was passed?
2006.
2006. And it slipped in there. At the time, revenue, I think, was very high in the Postal Service. They thought they could make it. It was a compromise as part of a bill that went through to help fund some of the restructuring of the Postal Service at that time.
Okay. And so, all right. So we don't know exactly how it gets put in there. We don't really even have a reason for it to be there, because I'm not hearing a reason. It wasn't like there was some kind of structural problem. It wasn't like there was a financing issue. It wasn't like the fund had been in arrears at any point. No,
it hadn't.
Okay, so I guess I'm just not understanding why that this was required.
Us either.
Well, fair enough. I mean, you know, then often with politics, there is no explanation, and this is one of those issues where there is no explanation. So let's go to, you know, it's now July of 2011. And, you know, we know that the demands on the Postal Service has changed a great deal. No matter what union we're talking about, we know that we're using the Postal Service differently than we have in the past. A lot of that is because technology has changed. So that obviously, you know, I guess I'll play devil's advocate here for a moment. And Roscoe, I'll throw this to you. Did the Postal Service, and when I say that, I'm using the big umbrella term Postal Service, did they not see what technology was doing? Did they not anticipate that there would be different demands made of the Postal Service?
Oh, they definitely anticipated, at least as far as technology goes, a downturn in mail volume, because since 2000, the Postal Service has attrited nearly 250,000 employees in an effort to downsize their workforce to stay within the money that's generated through the cost of postage. So I believe they definitely anticipated some hits from technology. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that, I mean, you know, again, part of what I'm trying to demonstrate here, and you said it perfectly, you said 250,000 employees?
Yeah, in 2000, there were 788,000 postal employees working for the United States Postal Service and the American public. As of 2010, that number, it dropped down to about 584, so it's more in the lines, a little over 200,000. And by contrast, of that 26% reduction in workforce, 44% of those come from our bargaining units. So those individuals working in the mail processing facilities suffered a major reduction in workforce.
Now, I don't know if this was a voluntary reduction, if it was done through attrition. I would imagine some of this was done through attrition.
It was both.
But, you know, again, we now see another layer of organized labor that has been unfairly treated. Has again had vision. You know, I equate this a little bit to what the UAW has done with the auto companies, where they knew the reality of what was happening, and so they responded by doing some untraditional things. The Postal Service understood that there was a changing system, and so they responded in a proactive way and again did some untraditional things. You know, part of what I want to demonstrate here, Larry, and I'll throw this to you, is that it's not like you were ignoring the reality of what was happening with the amount of mail that was being delivered. And so you looked at this and said, you know, we're going to respond to this, and, you know, we're going to respond to this in a way that our membership may not love. But in the end, you actually save jobs. Although you've lost jobs, you've also been able to save jobs because you were able to have that vision and understand that, yeah, we need to do things differently.
Correct. And, you know, a lot of those positions, like Roscoe had said, were lost through attrition. There was some early out incentives for long-term employees that were under the civil service retirement plans. Currently, I don't know if you heard this morning that there's a new study going on to eliminate several thousand more post offices. They say study, mostly in rural America. They want to go to a thing called village post offices or community post offices. That hit the news last night. Or yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, so let's hit the areas where they need the Postal Service the most.
Exactly. And, you know, we talked about this when I called in a couple weeks ago about rural-free America, or rural-free delivery, and what the cost is. It's blanketed across the United States.
Why don't we pick it up after the break? Larry Miller, the president, and Roscoe Woods, the executive vice president of the American Postal Workers Union. We're happy to take your calls as well. We've got a lot more information to get to, especially the two pieces of legislation you need to be aware of. So get your pens ready. I need you to write some information down. We will be back. I am Tony Trupiano. This is 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
First Shave with Tony Trupiano.
I know stimulus is unpopular. We had just done nothing and not spent any more money, as Representative Bachman is arguing. We would have had 16 or 17% unemployment in this country. I mean, we would have had a financial meltdown.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. An earlier accident on the Reuther westbound 696 near Cousins. It's been off to the shoulder, but, you know, everybody slows down to take a look, and we've been backed up toward Ryan for those heading west on 696 trying to get out to I-75. Seeing some heavy traffic, I-94 through the interchange with 696 as part of the morning commute.
Drive through McDonald's and grab a new French vanilla frappe. It's a refreshing, slow-sipping experience that's full of sweet, rich vanilla flavor from the first sip to the last, topped with whipped cream and caramel drizzle. Try a new French vanilla frappe today. Only available at McDonald's.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service includes mostly sunny skies, our high 85. Tonight it'll be clear and our low 63. Tomorrow look for more sunny skies and again a high of 85. Right now it's mostly cloudy at Metro Airport and 67 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I love bagels.
Who doesn't? But finding a really good, genuine bagel used to be so hard.
Till now.
The Detroit Institute of Bagels is bringing true bagels back to Detroit. Head over to
www.savethebagels.com.
Then donate and try some bagels today. Traditional bagels such as poppy seed and plain, small batch bagels like rosemary and dried cherry chocolate, they have it all at www.savethebagels.com.
The Detroit Institute of Bagels, the start of something locally delicious.
Great, more construction.
Yeah, it must be for a new sidewalk.
How do you know?
You see those levers on the cement truck that look like arms on a slot machine?
Oh, good eye. Tracy?
Yeah, she still feels it. She's been to MGM Grand Detroit with our expansive gaming floor that includes 4,000 winning slots.
Come on, big money!
Man, we need that cement.
It's time to play at MGM Grand Detroit.
Hey, Detroit. Hey, Motor City, it's Mama talking to you. That's right, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Detroit. Yes, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour starring me, John Fugelsang, and Aisha Tyler hits the Detroit Opera House Saturday, August 20th at 8 p.m. Go to sexyliberal.com to get tickets or go right to the box office at Detroit Opera House. It's stand-up, it's panel, it's Q&A. It's a Sexy Liberal town hall. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show. Can't wait to see Detroit. Sexyliberal.com. Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Mike Rowe here talking with Jim Twitchell, a real live Ford service technician, about the importance of scheduled maintenance. But really, Jim, everybody knows it's important, right?
Scheduled maintenance is important. That's what keeps your car running at optimum performance.
Get an oil change and much more with the Works Fuel Saver Package. $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
So you're kind of like a car doctor.
Definitely a car doctor.
Are you soothing? Do you have a good car side manner?
Most cars tell me so.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 8/31/11.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310. WDTW.
And welcome back, 22 minutes after the hour. Pleasure to have you all with me this morning. And again, thank you for punching in. My guests, Larry Miller and Roscoe Woods, both of them with the American Postal Workers Union based here in the Metro Detroit area. You know, we were talking during the break, gentlemen, and, you know, want to talk, there's some more facts. And again, we're going to talk about some legislation here in just a minute. But let's Roscoe, if we could, come back to the, you know, the retiree calculations. You were explaining to me, you know, I know that there are a lot of military veterans that are in the Postal Service. You've got a unique situation there that I would like you to share with my audience.
Yeah, the United States Postal Service is the only government agency or federal agency that is responsible for picking up the military. As an example, as a four-year veteran of the United States Army, I bought back my military time so it could count towards my years of retirement for the Postal Service. When I did that, the Postal Service then became obligated to pay me a retirement benefit based on those years of service. No other federal agency has to do that. Now, you take into account the number of veterans that work for the United States Postal Service, all those years of military service where we didn't provide an ounce of labor towards this company or, you know, by that didn't pick up a paycheck, now they're or pay into a retirement account. Now the Postal Service is obligated through the laws of the Office of Personnel Management to pick up that end of our retirement.
Now, when you say you bought back your 4 years, what do you mean by that?
My understanding is you got to pay back the federal tax and or whatever taxes were.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You know, but that's based on $1983 versus when they're going to begin paying out the annuity or when you work it into your high three.
Well, you know, Larry Miller, back to you again. It just seems to me that, you know, and maybe this is as simple as those three words that you hear me say on the show all the time, and I'm happy to say both these gentlemen are listeners, regular listeners of the show, follow the money. At some level, somebody in Washington, D.C. saw that you folks had money and they figured out a way to get to it.
I think they did. And yeah, they did. They took the surpluses in that, and as Roscoe was talking, we were talking in the break, put a lot of that cash into the general retirement fund at the Office of Personnel Management.
All right, so let's go to our current day problem, where now you have there are some budget issues with the United States Postal Service, and in fact, you folks are running in the red, and you would like to take some of that fund balance, that overage that you folks have paid in, whether it's $50 or $75 billion. To plug that gap, and you're being told you can't do that.
That's correct. Now, there is some legislation. In fact, there's several pieces of legislation that have been currently floating around Washington to alleviate that. Would you like me to talk about some?
Yeah, that's exactly where I want to go. And I think you're talking about H.R. 2309 and H.R. 1351, correct?
That's exactly the ones. And I'm going to talk about 1351, and I'm going to let Roscoe address the other piece of legislation. H.R. 1351, which was introduced by Stephen Lynch from Massachusetts back in April, it would basically take the methodology that they use to calculate those payments and bring them more in line to reality. I'm not sure how the actuarial people came to those numbers to begin with, but obviously when they were wrong, when the Office of Personnel Management and the OIG, which is the internal Postal Service auditing, came up with the figures, but between $50 and $75 billion. Now, of course, they don't want to give it back, but this legislation would help do that. And if I could real quickly regress back to what we were talking about in the break, recently the Postal Service brought all the employees together and said because of this budget crisis and we've overpaid the federal employees' retirement by about $7 billion, that we're going to suspend our payments to the Office of Personnel and Personnel Management and Budget. They pay about $115 million every 2 weeks, and they've suspended that payment, saying, look, we've already overpaid you, so that'll take that $115 million obligation, basically $300 million a month, off of us right now.
Wow.
Now,
that's a lot of money.
It's a ton of money. I mean, the $50 to $75 billion, and I wrote an article in our paper about this last year, of what that could buy, and it's an incredible amount of money. People just can't wrap their heads around it. Maybe if you're in Washington, you can.
Sure, yeah.
Pretty soon you're talking about real money, as they say. But this bill by Stephen Lynch would definitely give relief to the Postal Service. It would say that the overfunding and the recalculations would give the surplus back to the U.S. Postal Service. And if that was to happen, the announcement that was made yesterday or last night about the thousands of more post offices under review for closing, if that was to happen, we would get that money back. I would think that the Postal Service, realizing that the financial dire straits we're in, and we do, and we actually the union agrees with the Postal Service, and this piece of legislation needs to be passed, would probably, with the measures they've already taken, the reduction in employees by attrition, some consolidations they've already done, we would probably be in fine shape. But I'm just afraid, and people are afraid that we're going to lose the universal service if people like this Darrell Issa goes through and gets some of the legislation he would like to see passed. Actually, I'm not sure if that's really his plan about the Postal Service. I think his plan is to undermine unions nationwide.
There is a two-prong approach there. I do think it's about keeping the money, but it's also about undermining unions. And Larry Miller, before we go to Roscoe to talk about which is H.R. 2309, this is what I want people to write down, and I only want you to write this number down, not the other one. Folks, listen to me loud and clear. H.R. 1351 is the one you want to call your local elected or your federal electeds, and you're going to call the White House switchboard, which is 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. Listen to me. H.R. 1351. That's the only thing you need to write down in the phone number. We're going to talk about the other legislation because you need to understand that, again, labor is under assault. But I do not want you writing down the other number. I don't want you doing it because I don't want you to get confused. Okay, folks? I love you all, and I'm not thinking any of you are stupid. I just don't want anybody to get confused. We're going to have to get to a break. Can I ask you guys to stay a little longer?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. So before we get over to the other stuff, we'll let Roscoe, after the break, come back and explain what Darrell Issa is trying to do, the Republican congressman from California. I do want to remind people, again, we go back to that follow the money. The United States Postal Service anticipated that there were changes. They met those changes. They have pre-funded their retirement commitments like unlike anybody else in this entire country, including the United States government, and yet they're being penalized for it. And so now that they're having some financial difficulties, in order to not only save jobs but save service, and Larry, really that's the point to be made here. We're talking about saving service. You know, before the break we were talking about these rural routes. These folks on these rural routes that get mail delivery, that's a lifeline for them.
Absolutely.
I mean, it literally is their lifeline.
And if you get into things like the issues of five-day delivery, the lifeline, you know, I heard people talk about, well, I need this, I need that. People never really talk about the people who receive their medications through the mail. And that's a tremendous amount of people, things like this Caremark Corporation.
Absolutely.
They receive their medications and stuff. That is their lifeline, literally, in some cases.
All right, well, we're going to take the quick break here. When we come back, we will talk about the other piece of legislation. But, again, the one you want to write down and remember is H.R. 1351. I will tell you that Congressman Hanson Clark, Dale Kildee, Gary Peters, and Sandy Levin are 100% behind that legislation. That doesn't mean you don't call if you're a congressman and thank them for supporting that. Again, the number is 202-224-3121. Again, I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back with Larry Miller and Roscoe Wood right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes some new construction along Mound Road between 13 and Metro Parkway. We're down to just a couple of lanes. We also have that construction going on Telegraph that has it down to two lanes between 12 and Maple. And during busy times, things do back up and onto 696 as you try to get onto Telegraph.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service includes mostly sunny skies, our high 85. Tonight it'll be clear and our low 63. Tomorrow look for more sunny skies and again a high of 85. Right now it's mostly cloudy at Metro Airport and 67 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The NFL lockout has ended as the NFL Players Association reached a 10-year agreement with owners. NFLPA President Kevin Mahway.
We always said throughout this process that we would do a deal when it's right and when it's the right deal, and our players did that. We stuck it out to the end. We fought our ground, and we worked, you know, with the owners to get a deal that we felt was fair for everybody. I'm thankful for our players who stood together. You know, we stood strong in a time of uncertainty. But more importantly, I want to thank the fans. Through the roller coaster rides, 2 years out till today, you guys have stuck with us. We're here to tell you football's back. It's back for the long term.
BMW is uniting four unions as it outsources some union jobs. Jesse Russell reports.
Four unions spanning the Atlantic have come together in solidarity to protest plans by BMW to start outsourcing jobs at a distribution center in Ontario, California. Last Thursday, members of the Teamsters, International Longshoremen's Association, the United Auto Workers, and United Kingdom's Unite the Union held rallies throughout their countries calling on BMW to preserve the 100 middle-class jobs. The plan is to shut down the facility, fire the current employees, and reopen it the following day with outsourced and inexperienced employees. The unions are uniting to ask the company to postpone the plan for 3 months so a win-win alternative can be developed. The workers at the Ontario plant are represented by the Teamsters, but the ILA and UAW have both experienced similar tactics employed by BMW in the last 2 years. Last quarter, the luxury automaker saw its highest earnings in 95 years. Additionally, the company was one of a number of foreign automakers to receive billions under the Bush administration's Troubled Asset Relief Program.
The International Longshore and Warehouse Union, Local 21, is fighting to save union jobs at the EGT Development Grain Terminal at the Port of Longview, Washington. Hundreds of ILWU workers blocked a mile-long train from moving grain to the anti-union EGT Grain Terminal on July 14th. About 100 ILWU members were arrested for criminal trespassing. ILWU Local 21 President Dan Kaufman says labor is being attacked all over the country, with it starting in Wisconsin and now moving to the West Coast. Kaufman says the union has worked the dock at Longview for 70 years and won't let a big, rich corporation come in and just say they will no longer honor the legal agreement to hire ILWU members. According to the port, EGT is violating its lease with the Port of Longview by ousting ILWU members to replace them with other workers. The ILWU is joining the Port of Longview in a lawsuit against the owners of the EGT Development Grain Terminal. This newscast was made possible in part by the National Education Association and by AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
Well, we do. We got it once again. You follow the money, and what do you find? Corruption. And that's how I see it anyway. You can call it anything you want. The United States government understood that the United States Postal Service, being good stewards of their money, which, by the way, not a single penny of taxpayer dollars goes to support the United States Postal Service, being good stewards of their money, pre-funding by legislation, their retirement benefits were able to accrue between $50 and $75 billion in excess. Now that they need that money to plug a gap, the federal government is saying, no way. You can call that anything you want. I don't know what I call it. Maybe embezzlement? I don't know that they did they embezzle that money? I'm not going to ask you guys that question. But let's go on. There's another piece of legislation that's out there as well. And Roscoe Woods, again, the executive vice president of the AP, the American Postal Workers Union, is with me along with Larry Miller as well. Let's talk about House Resolution 2309, which I don't want people writing down.
Right on, yeah. I'll begin with a little good news. There's virtually unanimous agreement in what I guess I'll call the postal community on the solution to the company's problems. Unions, management associations, trade organizations, postal executives, everybody agrees that action by Congress could definitely solve some of the financial problems that that the USS Postal Service currently is undergoing. Representative Issa out of California, he chairs, I'm not exactly sure, the government? He chairs the committees that oversee the operation.
He's the chairman of the subcommittee on federal workforce, U.S. Postal Service, and labor policy.
Right, so with the changeover in the House with the Republican majority, he now chairs that committee. And out of his committees come this this really nasty piece of legislation, House Resolution 2309. While it does take steps to deal with the financial issues that the Postal Service is confronted with, it also has some really, really nasty stuff with respect to collective bargaining. And I think that those postal workers, whatever union you're a member of, and your family members in the state of Michigan, this should resonate with you because it very closely mirrors what Government Snyder and the Republicans in Michigan have done. Basically, his legislation would allow for the creation. It says the strategy ignores. Bear with me for a second.
No problem. Relax. Take your time. We're good.
All right. It would basically create a what are we calling it? A
commission.
Yeah, a commission that would oversee the workforce issues for the post office, and this commission would be allowed to just do away with all the collective bargaining agreements for the four unions that work for the United States Postal Service. I don't know what that has to do with correcting an overfunding of something, but as with typical politics coming out of the House of Representatives these days, I guess that'd be my opinion, that for every positive aspect, there is a tremendous negative aspect, and that negative aspect seems to be just a frontal assault on organized
labor.
Yeah,
but, you know, Roscoe, it goes back to his title on that subcommittee. You know, the end of it would be labor policy. And so, you know, maybe he feels like this is a way to hide some legislation within some legislation. You know, what H.R. 2309 doesn't do is correct the congressional mandate that requires the U.S. Postal Service to pre-fund their health care benefits and future retirees. And because it doesn't address that, you know, again, you're going to find yourself in a situation, unless H.R. 1351, which is the one we like, passes, then every time the Postal Service has a problem funding themselves, they would have to go back to Congress and say, folks, we need our money. We need our money. We need our money. You know, what happens, Larry Miller, if this, if H.R. 1351 doesn't pass? And let's say for a moment H.R. 2309 doesn't pass. Then what happens?
Well, there's a couple other pieces of legislation out there. There's a Senate Bill 1010 by Tom Carper that's been introduced that they would probably be considering if it makes it to the floor. Another Senate Bill 353. And all of these, they really don't address the problem. What will happen? I think that some creative senators and congressmen are going to have to create some different legislation for relief.
All right. But so this is going to require legislation at some point. This is not an issue that can be ignored. You guys are not able to generate enough revenue through postage to get you folks through your obligations.
The post office, like I said before, they've suspended some of the obligations they have, the Office of Personnel Management, for the FERS employees. And you know, that the $50 to $75 billion, that overpayment was just for civil service employees. The federal employee, the new, the federal employees retirement system, which is the FERS, they overfunded that by about $7 billion. So you got the $50 to $75 for the civil service.
Plus another $7 billion.
Plus another $7
billion. Well, this is just ridiculous. Now I'm going to really upset people. H.R. 2309, the one we don't like, has already been introduced. Yeah. H.R. 1351 hasn't even been introduced on the floor of the House of Representatives yet. Now, I don't know how many co-sponsors they have in total for the one we like, 1351. I just don't have that information in front of me, and maybe you guys do, and maybe you don't. But it seems to me that we need to, especially to the Republican members of Congress, reach out to them and remind them that they have an obligation to the American people. When I asked the question as well about whether we should go from, you know, 6-day delivery to 5-day delivery in our poll question, again, the vast majority of my listeners said, no, leave it at 6 days. I think, you know, we were talking about medications in the last segment, and, you know, there are a lot of people that get their medications delivered that way. You know, the first of the month can fall on a Saturday. Those checks are critical. You know, there are a lot of people that do not do direct deposit still. You folks know this better than anybody. And not to mention, and people, especially in rural areas, that postal delivery person is, might as well be mayor. They know everybody. They know if somebody's sick. They know if they didn't pick up their mail. They are actually a function of the police department, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you know, there's more to your postal worker than just somebody that drops that stuff in a box in front of your house every day.
I mean, these carriers, I mean, you read about it weekly. They notice if a customer's not picking up their mail, they contact the authorities. You find somebody had fallen down and they needed assistance. They spot fires all the time. I mean, they're large parts of the communities, and they live in those communities, and you know, being somebody who understands the practicality of a living wage, they spend money in those communities. And these attacks on the collective bargaining are designed to do nothing but depress wages. And what you end up with is more people earning less money, spending less money, and this economy just continues to slide as a result of it. I mean, I guess I wonder, guys like Representative Issa, why they understand their role as an elected representative for their district, but they're so against people who work for a large employer electing somebody to represent them to their employer. I just wonder how they pick and choose which democracy is best for us and best for them.
Donors. Donor cash.
Fair enough.
Roscoe, that's the reality, you know, and we don't have to like the reality, but it is the reality. You folks have a website, and I know that you've got a lot of information there. So what website do we want to send folks to?
www.apwu480.org.
All right. www.apwu480.org.
That's correct. And from there, you can click on our legislative page, and you can go directly to your senator or congressman, and we'll hook you right up.
All right. And Todd, I know that you'll be good enough to put that on the Facebook page, so he's already got it. Thank you. These guys are good in the other room, I tell you.
They are.
They are really good. There's no question. And they let me know it all the time, I assure you. You know, again, can we move the dial a little bit? I think we can. I think if people, and again, I'm going to give that number out for the switchboard again. The congressional switchboard is 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. You can also send an email, folks, and every one of you, whether it's your senator or your member of Congress, has an email address. They do, you know, and the one of the things that you need to remember is, and I give this at the speeches, you know, Roscoe, you were at the event, you were both at the event I was at Thursday. You know, when they get a personally written email or letter, they pay attention to that. We know that to be a fact now. So I don't want it to be one of those form letters. I want you folks just to take 5 minutes and write a personal letter and say, folks, we need to support H.R. 1351. Let's get it introduced on the House floor. Let's debate it. Let's help our Postal Service. We cannot afford to let this happen.
Can I comment on the writing?
Of course you can.
It's also very important that when you do write your representatives, especially at the federal level, you send it to the local offices. Don't send it to D.C. Send it to their local offices. You know, if you go to our website, if you look at the senators, Senator Levin Stabenow, all your House reps, you're going to have offices within their districts, and the senators have offices throughout the state. Send that letter that you write to whatever office is closest to you. You get a quicker response time, and I think they need to hear from the people that live in those localities.
You know what? It's not a bad idea as well if you send a letter, and send it also to your local newspaper, the same letter. You can send the same letter. Larry, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize when you send mail now after the anthrax issues several years ago that the mail going through Congress is irradiated, and it can be a several-week delay before your representatives receive that mail.
Oh, but email, of course, is pretty instantaneous.
Or, as Roscoe had indicated, to the local office. They'll get a lot quicker.
Not that we don't want you to mail those letters, too.
Oh, no.
Mail those letters. I don't care how delayed it is.
Keep mail those cards and letters coming.
Listen, I want to take a quick call before we let you guys go. We've got Stephen Monroe on the line. And so, Steve, go ahead. We've only got a minute, Steve. We're not going to have him after the break. Is it on this issue, Jeff?
Hi, Tony?
Yes, go ahead, Steve.
Okay, my question is you say that the Social Security has nothing to do with the debt or deficit. Why would the president come out and say they can't pay out Social Security benefits? It should be independent of that.
All right, well, that was not related to this topic, so we're going to put you back on hold, Steve. Well, Steve, call back, and we'll get to the call after the break. All right, well, listen, again, I just want to repeat some information because it's important. H.R. 1351 is the one that you want to support. Again, call the White House or not the Congressional Switchboard at 202-224-3121. Roscoe, Larry, thank you so much. I will have you back. Let's keep up on top of this and let me know what's going on, okay?
Thanks for having us.
It's my pleasure.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate what you're
doing. No problem. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
Got a question or comment?
Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Chip with Tony Triano
on 1310
WDTW.
Mike Rowe here talking with Jim Twitchell, a real-life Ford service technician, about the importance of scheduled maintenance. But really, Jim, everybody knows it's important, right?
Scheduled maintenance is important. That's what keeps your car running at optimum performance.
Get an oil change and much more with the Works Fuel Saver Package. $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
So you're kind of like a car doctor.
Definitely a car doctor.
Are you soothing? Do you have a good car side manner?
Most cars tell me so.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 8/31/11.
Hi. This is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Truppiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org, and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Start your engines, Detroit, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is cruising your way.
Take him to Detroit.
These progressive pistons are firing on all cylinders, and they're born, bred, and made in the USA. On August 20th at the Detroit Opera House, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and Motor City's favorite cougar, Stephanie Miller, will spark up your night and heal you with their full-torque progressive power. Tickets are available at motopera.org and ticketmaster.com. To call for tickets, dial 313-237-SING. That's 313-237-SING. Score your VIP tickets early for the best seats to witness Mama model her tight, sexy tee.
I want to get back to Michigan and I want to try.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Detroit, you just can't afford to miss this.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Autumn Smith. What's going on? Give us an update.
He knew when he was taking office that as a public official, he was subject to recall. It really feels to me that Jace Bolger just feels that he's the exception to the rule. That's not true because my rights don't end because you're in office, Jace Bolger. You are still subject to recall, and you are facing recall. I mean, it's done. I've already got signatures.
First Shift with Tony Trivino
on 1310 WDPW.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Trivino.
And thank you for punching in this morning. We are going to go to the phones, and if you want to join us, you got the number, 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And I got some announcements to get to as well, but let's go back to Steve. Steve, I apologize for that. I thought you were calling in regard to what they were talking about, but we're good now. You're back. Sir,
thanks, Tony. Thanks.
No problem. Welcome back. What's on your mind?
Well, my question I asked a few weeks ago is you and other Democrats keep on saying that the Social Security doesn't pay any part of the debt or deficit. Why would the president make a national announcement saying that they're going to cut Social Security? That shouldn't happen if it's no part of the debt or deficit.
I agree.
It should be fully funded.
I agree.
So is he scaring seniors to death for no reason?
Well, I don't know that I would put it that way. Well, you know what, Steve? You know, yes, I do think that he's unnecessarily causing concern amongst not just seniors, but people that are, you know, in their 50s, their 40s, their 30s, their 20s. Yeah, I think this is unnecessary. I think it's an unnecessary conversation, and it's disappointing.
Okay, good. Well, We agree again, Tony. See, there's sometimes me and you can agree.
Now, you know, I'm not a fan of touching entitlements, so I don't know why the president feels like this is an important part of the discussion. You know, and some people, you know, there are people that keep telling me, Steve, that he's doing it so that he's showing that he's more moderate. Well, I think there are other ways to show you're more moderate than scaring the hell out of people, but if that's what's going to work for him, then God bless him, go for it. But, Steve, thank you for your call. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tony.
No problem. You know, I don't get exactly what's going on with the president right now. I don't 100% get it. There's a part of me that's like, yeah, dude, go get him. Yes, sir. Ah. And then there's a part of me that's going, what the hell are you talking about? He says moderate changes in Medicaid and Medicare. Moderate. What does that mean? I need explanation. I need explanations. All right. I mean, it's just where I'm coming from, folks. I don't quite understand, you know, again, maybe the president doesn't feel like he needs to fully explain himself right now. The problem is he's not wrong on the greater issue here of the debt ceiling. He's not wrong on that at all. Again, I'm just trying to figure this, like everybody else, that's why we have a discussion. I don't claim to know it all. You know, I don't. So here we go. Maybe Sarah knows something I don't know. Let's go to the phones and welcome Sarah and Novi. Sarah, thanks for punching in with us this morning. What's on your mind?
I'm calling in response to Steve's question.
Yeah, absolutely.
The reason they can't afford Medicare and Social Security, et cetera, would be akin to your husband taking off to go to Vegas with his dolly, and he's got spent all his money. So he says, geez, hon, I'm so sorry. I don't have money to pay for the kid's dental bill. You know, and they don't want to stop. I am been a Democrat for 40-some years. I am totally disappointed in Obama. He's a bigger Wall Street Democrat than Clinton ever was. And if he cuts a dime, if they touch a dime of Social Security, Medicare, et cetera, for me or mine, I'm not voting for him. I will vote third party. I'm done with Wall Street Democrats, and I'm with Trumka. Trump and the unions are fighting.
Absolutely. Well, Sarah, you and I obviously are going to get along just fine. You know what? I don't, at the end of the day, I don't believe that Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security will be touched. I really don't. I just don't know why he has to continue to have the dialogue. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I believe it's because he's a neoliberal. He's a new Democrat. He's a Wall Street Democrat. Clinton got NAFTA in, sold their jobs overseas, and changed us from the party of the working people representing unions to the party of Wall Street. It was where all the campaign money was.
Well, you and I both know that Obama was not a new Democrat as a senator. He was a progressive Democrat as a senator.
And he ran as a progressive for the presidency.
Hey, Sarah, there was no one happier on election night than Big Fat Tony T. I was the happiest guy in the universe at 9:09 p.m. I mean, I was one happy guy. I'm not so happy anymore.
Well, I was happy that Democrats won with a mandate and a majority for change, and we didn't get any of it. We got more Bush policies with the wars and the Patriot Act, no prosecution for torturers. All of that stayed the same, and then he brought Robert Rubin and his crew right back into the White House and gave us Bill Clinton. Instead of renegotiating NAFTA, he's pushing three NAFTA-type trade deals now. The man's a neoliberal, and until we get real Democrats back into office, we're going nowhere.
Well, Sarah, I appreciate your call and I appreciate your passion, and I don't think that you're alone. I guess I always take one step back and I keep watching, because it's ultimately about what happens, not what might happen. I hate the word might, so it's about what does and not what might. And so I always keep a little optimism, and maybe I need to get over this optimism thing that I've been holding on to for the 50 years I've been on this earth. But I, in my heart, in my soul, I am an optimist. There's no question that's true. But it gets harder and harder every day. It really does. You know, you would think, folks, I want you to hear this message loud and clear. You would think that when somebody steps up and really wants to make a difference and really searches out and seeks out, you know, messengers, and wants to be a messenger and wants to be active and shows up to stuff and wants to see change, that even if you disagree, you know, a little bit with the message, or you're not 100% on board, that you would welcome that passion, right? That you would somehow figure out a way to coddle that and to harness that and to create the kind of, you know, compromise and change that we all say we want. So, you know, I know progressives that aren't hardcore progressives. I know liberals that are hardcore liberals. I know blue dog Dems that are actually Republican light. I know them all. And some of them are friends, some of them are acquaintances, some of them are enemies. No question. I know the full gamut of folks. I've been at this a long time. I think we need new vision. I think we need new blood. I think we need new dialogue. And I just hope the Democrats don't lose out on an opportunity to have that new dialogue. You see, I think the answers are out there. The people that have them aren't being listened to. Do you hear what I'm saying? The answers are out there, but the people that have them are not being listened to. We write them off. We don't take them seriously because it doesn't fit into the traditional model of the way we do things. You know, maybe it's time we go a little untraditional. A little commando on you. I'm all for that commando. Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a quick break for the top of the hour. Chris Mihalakis will be with us in the next hour. And we continue our live in-studio guests. Again, wall-to-wall union today, which I'm digging in a big way. Sarah and Steve, both of you, thanks for your call. Diane Cross coming up with traffic and weather. CNN with headline news. I'm Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. A very quick break, and we'll be right back.
Team 10. 710 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes an accident on 275 northbound near 8 Mile. Looks like it's moved off to the left shoulder, but it's enough to be backing us up more than a mile for those heading northbound on 275, the accident near 8. And if you're on the Lodge, southbound near Howard, an accident there moved off to the right side. Looks like we're backed up to Grand River.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service includes mostly sunny skies, our high 85. Tonight it'll be clear and our low 63. Tomorrow look for more sunny skies and again a high of 85. Right now it's mostly cloudy at Metro Airport and 67 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Topping the news this hour, what's going to happen if there's not a deal on the debt limit? President Obama says it would be a disaster.
Interest rates would skyrocket on credit cards, on mortgages, and on car loans, which amounts to a huge tax hike on the American people. We would risk sparking a deep economic crisis, this one caused almost entirely by Washington.
The president's primetime speech was followed by a response from House Speaker John Boehner, who says the president has done nothing but spend since taking office.
Here was a president asking for the largest debt increase in American history on the heels of the largest spending binge in American history.
The U.S. might default on its loans if there's not a debt deal by next Tuesday. The father of Norway terrorist suspect Anders Breivik says what his son is accused of doing is unforgivable.
No, I'll never have more contact with him in my darkest moments. I think that rather than killing all those people, he should have taken his own life.
Through a translator, Jens Breivik tells Norway's TV2 his son may be mentally ill. Congressman David Wu of Oregon won't seek re-election because of a sex scandal. He hasn't made a decision yet on the rest of his term. Wu is accused of making sexual advances toward the daughter of a fundraiser. The heat wave is not letting up in some parts of the country. CNN meteorologist Rob Marciano says the forecast doesn't look good from Nebraska to Arkansas for the rest of the week.
Across the southern plains and the central plains, Dallas and Oklahoma City and parts of Arkansas have seen 100 degrees plus now for over 20 days in a row, and the next 5 to 10 days doesn't look to be any cooler.
More than 20 deaths last week were blamed on the record heat. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
If you're a contractor, you know you shouldn't have to pay top dollar for top quality. So here's another Home Depot advantage. Exclusive WeatherShield pressure-treated decking. Its lighter color looks more natural and accepts stains better. It's pre-treated with a wood stabilizer that reduces splitting, warping, and swelling. And it doesn't require sealing for up to 1 year. It'll help lower your bids and make your business look a lot better, too. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
I'm in the I need a three-phase cooling tower motor to stay in business. Business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
If we take good care of our customers, they'll take good care of us. Business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The cost to make cars is going up because materials such as steel and plastic are more expensive, and in Ford's case, because it's stepping up its game. Ford reporting a decline in profit from a year ago to last quarter because of cost, including those related to a revamp of the Lincoln lineup. Profit beat expectations on strong sales, and Ford stock is rising in pre-market trades. T-Mobile is getting a dropped call signal from Radio Shack. The chain will begin selling Verizon products and services mid-September. That's when it will stop carrying T-Mobile stuff. Profit and sales fell short of forecast for the Shack, but its stock is up 7% in early trading. Parents soon might find themselves employing their kids to eat their veggies, even if the kids are eating Happy Meals. Tribune reports whether you ask for it or not, McDonald's will stock every Happy Meal box with a fruit or vegetable starting this summer, everywhere next spring. Stock futures gaining. S&P futures up 3 points. NASDAQ futures up 4. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout and think a few attacks a year are all you have to worry about, think again. Fact is, gout can attack silently, even between flares. You may not feel it, but gout's root cause, high uric acid, can allow crystals to continuously form and build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. Get more information at goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
My daughter swims like she's part fish. But when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There are lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Now we both breathe easier.
If you're a contractor, you know you shouldn't have to pay top dollar for top quality. So here's another Home Depot advantage. Exclusive WeatherShield pressure-treated decking. Its lighter color looks more natural and accepts stains better. It's pre-treated with a wood stabilizer that reduces splitting, warping, and swelling. And it doesn't require sealing for up to 1 year. It'll help lower your bids and make your business look a lot better, too. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
I need a three-phase cooling tower motor to stay in business. Business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
If we take good care of our customers, they'll take good care of us. Business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Look around you. Companies sacrifice human health and even life for profit. This is the world in which we live. And these are the lives of our fellow human beings. But we don't have to accept it.
At a time when truth is needed, when courage and strength is rare, when a voice is needed to cut through the lies.
Disagreeing is not enough any longer. In order to mandate change, we must not just show up. Now we must stand up.
It's time for First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning, everybody. Hour three, thank you for punching in this morning. We have a great hour of radio planned for you, but every Tuesday is great. I love Tuesdays. Wall-to-wall union stuff today, and the neat thing about this is we actually come at this on a couple different angles. Part of it was legislation that's important for you to understand, and those of you that wrote me during the break and thank me for doing that segment, you're welcome. We need to know this stuff is going on, and the only way to know is for me to bring these people on. So, Larry and Roscoe, if you're listening on your way to wherever you're going this morning, thank you so much for sharing your story, and let's hope that we can help just move that dial a little bit this morning. Before we get on to our next guest, I do want to remind you, if you want to join us, our toll-free number is 888-552-3595, and the email address is always tony@thetonyshow.org, and we will have plenty of time for open lines later on in the hour. I also have a bunch of announcements I haven't gotten to yet. I want to remind you about Stephanie Miller. Very quickly, we are now on iHeartRadio. That's a new app for the show. So if you download it to your smartphone, your computer, your iPad, you can listen to the show no matter where you're at. Can't make it any easier than that, folks. All right. Go ahead, Jeff. Let's do this and get it going.
Joining Tony in studio, as he always does at this time, the legislative and political director of the United Food and Commercial Workers of Michigan, Chris Milakis.
And he's back. It is Tuesday. It is that time. And,
that's right. It's good to be back in the studio.
It is good. And we've now moved you back into your regular slot. Thank you last week for making room for not only Congressman Conyers, but Cindy Estrada. I do appreciate that.
Always a pleasure to accommodate those two. I mean, Congressman Conyers is one of my favorite congressmen, and Cindy Estrada is fantastic.
Amazing lady. Yeah. Amazing lady. How are things over at my union hall?
Hey, things are going well at the union hall. No complaints.
Good. I haven't been there in a while. So,
yeah, we miss you. You got to come by.
I will do that. We have a beautiful union hall. Absolutely. In fact, I want to talk to you about maybe having some kind of event there.
Okay.
We'll talk about that off the air. All right, listen. We have really spent a lot of time, Chris, over the last, 10 weeks, 12 weeks or so, educating people the different aspects of the union movement. We've talked a little bit about what happens in Washington, in Lansing. And, you know, we've talked about a little bit about collective bargaining, and we've talked about the history of the union. You know, there's one aspect, and this actually kind of came up when I was looking at what they were doing with teacher tenure and seniority. And so I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about seniority.
Yeah. Hey, Tony, I'm glad you want to talk about this. I was surprised when a few weeks ago or a month ago we did a little segment on Just Cause, and I was surprised at the reaction we got. And I thought to myself, well, you know, if we can talk about one very important clause in a union contract, why not talk about another of the most important? And seniority is very relevant now because of what happened recently. In Lansing, Governor Snyder signed the teacher tenure bills, and there are a whole bunch of bills that that change teacher tenure laws. And basically, part of the aspects of these laws say that you can no longer use seniority as a means to decide who gets laid off and who doesn't whenever you have staff reductions, which is just completely appalling. From a labor perspective. And, it basically says, you know, anytime you're recalling staff, anything that has to do with recalls, layoffs, positioning, it says seniority can no longer be a factor. And what worries me about this is if lawmakers want to impose this type of mentality on teachers, what's to stop them from interfering with the private sector? They're already telling teachers and management that they cannot bargain on these things in their local collective bargaining agreements, which to me is bad enough. It's one thing to say that you can't, you know, that the state, that Lansing thinks they know better than local management and local collective bargaining units on how to negotiate their contracts. But what happens when they want to extend this to the private sector? You know, when you threaten the seniority of teachers, you threaten the seniority of workers all over the state in the public and private sector. And then it kind of dawned on me, labor never really educates the public on why seniority is important and why it's such an important part to clause to have in your contract.
Well, you're right. And I think when people think of seniority, I mean, you know, and not that they're wrong, they think, okay, well, I've been there longer than the other guy. That's fundamentally true.
Right.
That means I get to maybe make choices before somebody else. Again, fundamentally, that's not untrue. Maybe if they're going to lay off, I've got a better chance of not getting laid off depending on my seniority. Again, fundamentally, that is true. But that is not the whole seniority story.
Yeah. What seniority is, it depends on the contract. It depends on your workplace. Every single collective bargaining union, every single shop in the country uses seniority differently. But what it ultimately is a way to, whenever you have to give preference to any worker, to one worker over another, it's the only way to have a system that's fair, that's balanced, that makes sure that there's no preferences given to anyone because of their race, their color, their ethnicity, their religion, or, you know, most importantly, the guy who's friends with the manager or the supervisor. It's so, for example, when you have layoffs and recalls, this is where seniority is used the most. What unions try to do is push seniority for layoffs and recalls, which basically says the person with the least amount of seniority is the first laid off. The person with the most amount of seniority is the last person to be laid off. And when it comes to recalls, whoever has the most seniority is recalled first. Whoever has the least is recalled last. And what that does is prevent managers prevent supervisors and management in general to, you know, hooking up their friends, you know, making sure their friends are the last to be laid off or the first to be recalled. And I think that's the only fair way you can do this. And, you know, a lot of collective bargaining agreements use seniority and other factors too. For example, when it comes to promotions, when it comes to, you know, more favorable work hours and things like that. And, you know, in the process of promotions and when what frustrates me is when you have a shop that uses seniority for these types of factors, management knows. It's no surprise. You know, your contract is pretty black and white. And it frustrates me when management tries to blame the seniority clause on why they can't promote the best people and have the most productive workplace. Where the way I see it, if you know that seniority is the rule of law in your shop, then shouldn't you be proactive and be responsible for making sure that your most senior employees are also your most educated, your most skilled, your most motivated, and your most productive employees? I mean, it's not a surprise when you go into any, you know, plant, like auto plant, for example. It's no surprise that the most senior people are going to get the best shifts, that are going to get the most opportunities. So why not spend the resources to make those your best employees?
Well, you know, I think of seniority, even in government, we have seniority.
That's
think
right.
about the Senate. You have a senior senator, you have a junior senator.
That's right.
I mean, there's a reward system based on seniority in politics. So if they're going to do that, we might as well eliminate it in political arena as well, right?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Of course, you know, a senior member of the Michigan legislature means, you know, you're elected to your third term and looking for your next job.
Yeah. Yes, because it's, you know, Michigan's one of the few places where your senator is now your representative.
Right.
Anyway, that's a whole different conversation. Well, you know, as you talk about this, I think that you're right. I stop and think about people that I know that have a certain amount of seniority. My son belongs to a roofing union, and, you know, seniority is a huge factor there in jobs because in the roofing unions, you know, you could work in Tennessee for a union or, you know, but there may be a job in Michigan, you know, based on your seniority depends on where you will end up. Now you can always, of course, make the choice not to go to the out-of-state job. But the point is, with seniority, there is some preference and you should have some preference.
Yeah. And you know, what the other thing that frustrates me is let's take away seniority for a second. Just like what Governor Snyder did when he signed these teacher tenure bills into law. I was a supervisor in a non-union shop, and every once in a while someone would call in sick and we'd have a bunch of hours available. Now, if we were a union shop, I would have had to go through my call list, call the most senior person first. If you can't get a hold of them, you keep moving down. But you give the most senior people the opportunity.
It's fair. Sounds to make sense.
But what I did instead, and I'll admit to this, because I didn't know what seniority was when I was a supervisor. No one ever told me. Management never enforced this. I would look through the employee list, and I'd say, oh, I don't want to work with that guy. He's a little weird. And, oh, I don't like her so much. I'm going to call this person because he's a pretty cool guy, and we can talk about, you know, whatever.
Right.
Baseball or, you know, I don't know, whatever. I would call in the people that were most like me. The people that I wanted to work with, the people that I wanted to essentially, you know, associate with and hang out with for a couple hours. And it was unfair to those who had been around for a long time and who had more seniority. And of course, I was never reprimanded for this because it was part of, you know, management, the upper management saw this almost as a perk of me being a supervisor.
Well, and of course, you know, you didn't get training that said, hey, and maybe they didn't even have a policy.
Did they didn't.
All right, so it wouldn't have mattered. You wouldn't have got the training because there was no policy to train you on.
Right.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. More to talk about. If you want to call in about seniority, well, you know what? First in line is seniority on this show. So give us a call, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. Chris Mialakis with us. He is the political and legislative director of the United Food and Commercial Workers. Stay where you're at. We'll continue on 1310 WDTW right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes an accident. It's southbound 275 at 8 Mile. Southbound 275 at 8 Mile. That accident moved off to the left shoulder. We've had some slow traffic coming off of 96 and 696, where westbound 696 trying to get onto 275. We have another accident there. That one's moved off to the right shoulder. And a problem, drivers coming in the Jackson area, 94 eastbound east of 127. We have the freeway closed because of a tractor-trailer accident.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, sunny skies, a high of 85. Tonight it'll be clear and 63. Tomorrow more sun and 85. Right now partly cloudy, 72 degrees at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Start your engines, Detroit. Because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is cruising your way.
Take him to Detroit.
These progressive pistons are firing on all cylinders, and they're born, bred, and made in the USA. On August 20th at the Detroit Opera House, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and Motor City's favorite cougar, Stephanie Miller, will spark up your night and heal you with their full torque progressive power. Tickets are available at motopera.org and ticketmaster.com. To call for tickets, dial 313-237-SING. That's 313-237-SING. Score your VIP tickets early for the best seats to witness Mama model her tight, sexy tee.
I want to get back to Michigan, and I want to try.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Detroit, you just can't afford to miss this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org, and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet,
tweet. Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And we are back, and a pleasure to be with you again. Chris Mihalakis, my guest. And, Chris, we also have a guest in studio with us. I'm going to let you introduce him because he's attached to you today.
Well, we have with us the least senior member of our staff, which, you know, maybe some of our other staff members would want to pull some seniority and come on in the future. But we have our intern with us, Mike.
Mike, that's a microphone. You're going to talk into it. Welcome to First Shift. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm Michael Dolent, and I'm interning with the union this year, and I had former experience being a member of the union, So this is just kind of my segue into my career.
So you were a former Kroger employee, I understand?
I was for 2.5 years.
All right. And what did you do for them?
I was a courtesy clerk, not a bagger.
What is a courtesy clerk? I like the title.
It sounds good to me, too. It just you get to do carts all day and you be out in the freezing rain and the freezing snow.
And yeah, there isn't a lot of nice weather when that's what you do for a living. There's not enough nice weather when that's what you do for a living.
There's not, no.
My oldest son did that at Target years ago. And I remember one day my wife going, I'm running up Target. I went for it. His feet are soaking wet. It's freezing out there. He needs dry socks. Oh, sweet God. You know, he's got a job. Let him. But she went anyway. So, Mike, you're going to college. You're going to Xavier, you told us during the break. What are you studying?
I'm going to study economics and finance.
All right. And what year are you in?
I'm going to go in my first year of college.
Oh, so you're going to be a freshman this year?
Absolutely.
Are you excited about that?
You know, back and forth. You know, the parents kind of don't want me to go off. It's a couple hours away, so.
It'll be good for you.
Yeah.
It will be good for you. And, Chris, what do you have Mike doing besides shadowing you?
You know, he's just seeing what a day in the life of a legislative.
And he's following you. Okay, all right. I'm going to leave that alone. Well, Mike, welcome to the First Shift Studios. We're glad that you're here today, and I won't mention that you told us during the break you're a Republican.
Hopefully that'll change by the time you go down.
Yeah, let's hope so. Anyway, Mike, good luck to you. All right, Chris, let's get back to our conversation about seniority. You know, part of me wants to say, you know, is there a value system that seniority creates? And I mean that, of course, in a positive
way.
Yeah,
you know, what I like about seniority, I remember growing up as a kid, my dad was working the afternoon shift and I think, you know, that's where his seniority placed him. And it was a little hard in the family, but now that, you know, we're all older and, you know, he's been working the day shift for years and years, you know, he's gotten, better positions because of the seniority in his union contract. And what seniority does is it really places a value on work. And it encourages people to stick with a job and to really see their job as a career. And to really give those workers more input and have them place more value in their workplace. Because if you have a seniority system, or if you have a workplace where seniority is respected, then you know you're going to be working at that place for years and years and years to come. It just gives you more incentive to work harder, to think about the long-term consequences of anything you do on the shop floor. To really see that employer as an organization that you want to be in business and that you want to be successful, because you know that they're going to share that success with you.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I have a friend who's quite a bit older than I am. He's probably 70 years old now. He uses seniority in an interesting way in that he could have bumped guys and got on different shifts and done different things. But what he decided to use to do was, because he was a little older and he was even, you know, a lot of the guys he works with were younger, had families, he would, instead of utilizing his seniority to bump somebody, he would use it to let somebody take his slot.
Wow.
But he had an ultimate goal, is he wanted to be in the union. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted to run for a union position. Mm-hmm. And because he was successfully able to do that, you know, it was one of the things that in his toolkit, mm-hmm, that he was able to use. And, of course, once he got elected and he went to work for the union full time, and then his seniority still mattered to him, but right, all of a sudden he was working the shift he wanted to work. He was just working for the union, which is ultimately what he wanted to do.
Sure.
But because he had that seniority and he was able to say to the supervisor, you know what, no, you can bypass me and
sure,
go to this guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's one way to use your seniority, Chris.
And that happens a lot. Like one example I like to use, and Mike, you've probably seen this happen before, is, you know, in Kroger, for example, if you want to be a department head, it's not just a seniority thing. You have to demonstrate skill and ability.
As it should be.
Sure. And so what companies, what a lot of union companies do in the retail industry and in the grocery industry is they'll say, in order for you to be a department head, you need to have these 10, 15, however many tasks that you need to be trained on. You know, you need to know how to order, you need to know how to restock, how to contact these vendors, how to, you know, there's a whole list of things that I couldn't even begin to imagine what are necessary to become a department head. And so, you know, management will train people every once in a while, every, you know, couple of months. It varies by store, varies by, you know, demand. They'll say, we're going to have trainings on these two or three skills. Whoever wants to sign up can sign up. We're only going to accept, you know, four people. And if, you know, four people sign up, they all get trained. If they don't force the most senior people to go through the training, but they give them the opportunity. So if five people sign up for four slots, the four most senior people get to go through that training.
Until the next training. Absolutely.
Right. So, and then what happens when a position opens up, you have to, the first thing you have to do is have all the skills. And so if two or three people sign a bid that have all the skills, then they go based on a system of seniority. But what this does is if you're a young employee and you really want to move up within the system, there's an opportunity. It may take a little longer for you to get trained, but eventually you're going to get trained. I know I have folks that are my age that are department heads, you know, folks that I've met through working for the union that are, you know, got to be department heads relatively young because they were ambitious and because they worked hard and they went through the trainings every time they were offered.
You know, I'm glad that you brought that up because it does also send the message that it isn't just about time served. It
right.
is really about the skill set and knowledge. Because I think a lot of people, again, they think seniority and they put a blanket on it and they go, no, if you've got 10 years and I've got 5, you're going to get the job.
Right.
Well, you just told me that's not necessarily true.
It shouldn't necessarily be true. And the example you gave is another perfect example. What seniority does is it makes sure that the opportunity for success is equal amongst everybody by placing that as the primary factor. So, you know, a manager can't just pick and choose who they want for promotion based on most likely who they like and who they are most friendly with, or, you know, whose family or whatever. And so it gives everyone the opportunity, an equal opportunity to advance and to support themselves.
Well, you know, again, I think that this is an important part of the conversation, whether, you know, and of course, this is a good week to talk about seniority because
right.
we've got union contracts being negotiated,
right.
not just with the big four, I call it the big four, the auto companies in the state of Michigan, but all around Metro Detroit, mm-hmm. there are contracts. I mean, the summer months are normally when contracts start negotiations. And
that's when the weather is ideal for, you know, in case you got to have some action.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, I'm going to, and I know that you want to wish your union brothers and sisters in the AFL and the Change to Win the best going into these talks. And
that's right.
we, of course, don't want any labor strife and we don't want any work interruptions at all. So let's
right.
just hope and pray that the right thing happens. Chris, thank you so much for being with us this week. We'll look
Thanks
forward
for
to seeing you next
time.
Tuesday. Mike, it was nice to meet you. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're open lines. Stay with us. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be right back.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes that earlier accident southbound 275 near 8 Mile. Looks like off to the left shoulder trying to clear, but it's been backing things up off to 96 as you're coming off of that M5 or 696 west coming onto southbound 275. In fact, on the route there west, just before the split with 96 and 275, looks like we have an accident there on the right shoulder.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, sunny skies, a high of 85. Tonight it'll be clear and 63. Tomorrow more sun at 85. Right now partly cloudy, 72 degrees at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The NFL lockout has ended as the NFL Players Association reached a 10-year agreement with owners. NFLPA President Kevin Mahway.
We always said throughout this process that we would do a deal when it's right and when it's the right deal, and our players did that. We stuck it out to the end, we fought our ground, and we worked, you know, with the owners to get a deal that we feel was fair for everybody. I'm thankful for our players who stood together. You know, we stood strong in a time of uncertainty, but more importantly, I want to thank the fans. Through the roller coaster rides, 2 years out till today, you guys have stuck with us. We're here to tell you football's back. It's back for the long term.
BMW is uniting four unions as it outsources some union jobs. Jesse Russell reports.
Four unions spanning the Atlantic have come together in solidarity to protest plans by BMW to start outsourcing jobs at a distribution center in Ontario, California. Last Thursday, members of the Teamsters, International Longshoremen's Association, the United Auto Workers, and United Kingdom's Unite the Union held rallies throughout their countries calling on BMW to preserve the 100 middle-class jobs. The plan is to shut down the facility, fire the current employees, and reopen it the following day with outsourced and inexperienced employees. The unions are uniting to ask the company to postpone the plan for 3 months so a win-win alternative can be developed. The workers at the Ontario plant are represented by the Teamsters, but the ILA and UAW have both experienced similar tactics employed by BMW in the last 2 years. Last quarter, the luxury automaker saw its highest earnings in 95 years. Additionally, the company was one of a number of foreign automakers to receive billions under the Bush administration's Troubled Asset Relief Program.
The International Longshore and Warehouse Union, Local 21, is fighting to save union jobs at the EGT Development Grain Terminal at the Port of Longview, Washington. Hundreds of ILWU workers blocked a mile-long train from moving grain to the anti-union EGT Grain Terminal on July 14th. About 100 ILWU members were arrested for criminal trespassing. ILWU Local 21 President Dan Kaufman says labor is being attacked all over the country, with it starting in Wisconsin and now moving to the West Coast. Kaufman says the union has worked the dock at Longview for 70 years and won't let a big, rich corporation come in and just say they will no longer honor the legal agreement to hire ILWU members. According to the port, EGT is violating its lease with the Port of Longview by ousting ILWU members to replace them with other workers. The ILWU is joining the Port of Longview in a lawsuit against the owners of the EGT Development Grain Terminal. This newscast was made possible in part by the National Education Association and by AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. I need callers. Jeff and Todd, I feel lonely now. I've had a company for so long, and now I feel so lonely.
I was going to say, you've had people in and out of the studio all day, but I guess because they're gone now is why you're feeling lonely.
Yeah. I mean, it was great. Roscoe and Larry were amazing from the American Postal Workers Union. Then I had Chris and Mike from the UFCW.
I will say the two callers we've had brought up pretty good points, though. It was nice to have those guys, those two on.
And I enjoyed them. I enjoyed our call. I always enjoy our callers, even the ones that are a little crazy. Now, not that either one of those were crazy calls, because they weren't. In fact, I know you like Sarah a whole lot. Sarah's going to get a little love on the station today, isn't she?
She is. You put her in the promo.
You put her in the promo for tomorrow, so that's great. Yeah, what a morning, man. It's just been kind of insane. I cannot believe that it's already 8:36 in the morning. I just don't know where the time goes anymore. The longer we do this, the crazier it gets. It just blows my mind. It really blows my mind. So, I do want to, you know, folks, still talk, you know, that ceiling. We can certainly do that. If you want to talk about any of the issues that we've talked about today, the Postal Service, seniority, happy to talk about that as well. I think it's important that we continue to understand and educate ourselves to what union means and what democracy means, because it's getting a little weird for us these days, is it not? And then there's a story that I definitely want to get to before we get out of here, because follow the money, it makes itself completely clear. The state GOP has done quite well fundraising, and I want to get to that. But we are going to go to the phones. I said I didn't want to be lonely. I love you guys. You come through for me. You just got to dig this show. 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org. I want to welcome Gina from Romeo to the show. Gina, welcome aboard First Shift. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Tony. This is your cousin,
Gina. My cousin, Gina. I love this woman. The only time I get to talk to you is when I'm on the air, but I'll take it, baby. I'll take it.
I know, baby, but I'm just sitting listening, having my morning coffee.
Well, I appreciate that. We trade voicemails,
like I do,
you guys.
Every morning.
We trade voicemails all the time. I call her, she calls me. We never talk to each other.
I know, but I was listening to Chris and you guys talking this morning, and you guys were talking about your seniority.
Absolutely.
I think that that a point that I think should be made is that seniority is a position that's been earned. It's something that that they've had to start from the bottom to.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that it's a respect issue that is not given by a lot of corporations. I feel that they need to take into consideration all the experience that has transpired over those years of experience to give them that seniority, to give them those rights, to be able to have those positions.
Yeah, but Gina, this is why collective bargaining, and this is why your union's so important. Although management may not honor seniority, your union does.
Well, they do.
You know, and that's
the problem is sometimes that I see though is that union and management sometimes working together, that's how a lot of the, I mean, in the auto industry, that's how a lot of the auto workers are starting to feel. And I don't know if their seniority rights in a lot of situations aren't being acknowledged. And I think that that's something that needs to change.
Well, you're right. If that is happening and your steward's not taking care of you, then you need to go above that person because your seniority must be honored. And if there is, if you honestly feel, you know, you've got a grievance, you need to file that grievance. That's incumbent upon you. And, you know, these guys are there to take care of you. And if they're not taking care of you, then somebody has to answer for that, Gina. Baby, I love you. I hope to see you soon, but I got to move on to other callers. Thank you so much for calling this morning.
And have a great day.
Thank you. You too. 888-552-3595. Let's go to Jerry in Farmington now. Jerry, welcome, and thanks for calling First Shift this morning. What's on your mind?
Another great show, Tony. You're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
I'm a retired building tradesman, and in a lot of cases in the building trades, we don't have seniority per se because it's figured out, and when somebody comes out of the union hall, dispatched to a job, that you've got equal skills and whatever. And in our case, my particular union, we used to have at one time job site seniority, but we gave it up to get sub payback in the mid 1970s, which has been a lifesaver because I know work has been bad here for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
For a lot of guys in our local, sub pay is a lifesaver on top of your state unemployment.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, that's something you guys negotiated, so that's fine. I'm fine with that as long as it's something you negotiated. So.
Yeah, it is, because we had to do something, because, you know, God help if you got to make it on 362 a week, that, you know, the extra amount you get in subpay, that can make the difference for a lot of people right now.
Well, yeah, no, I always find it, Jerry, ironic when people say, you know, well, you know, look at what they've done. They've extended unemployment. Now people are living for free for 99 weeks. Yeah, hello. No one's living on unemployment, Jerry. No one's living on unemployment.
No, you're existing, barely existing, not living, existing.
Right. Now we got to remember that we didn't come from, you know, somebody that works in the building trade, somebody that works on an automobile line, and I don't care where you work, you lose your job, you were making more than 362 a week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Jerry, I appreciate the call. Thank you so much, as always. And thank you for
everything you do.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the nice words. Yeah, folks, you know, seniority is important, but if you know, again, that's what I love about collective bargaining. They gave up something to get something, but it was their collective decision. That's democracy. I tell you, union is another form of democracy. In fact, I think it's the purest form of democracy. I love that. I absolutely love that. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Precious in Detroit to First Shift. Precious, thanks for punching in with us this morning. What's on your mind?
I'm a little nervous. I saw a report on the news that there's an idea that's being floated out that incoming cops here in Detroit will not get a pension. Instead, what they're going to be getting after they serve like 25 years, they just get like a lump sum.
I've heard that too, Precious.
And number one, that's a huge hurdle for recruitment, because here in Detroit, it's hard enough recruiting people who are from the city, because I'm going to be honest, a good deal of them can't pass the drug test. So we have to go outside the city. Now, you know, no, at the end of 25 years, you just get a lump sum, you don't get a pension after you've taken care of citizens. That's just not fair. That is just not fair.
Well, I don't know. And I've heard that, too. And at this point, it's been rumored. Obviously, the police officers and firefighters have a union. That union needs to step up and stand up for these folks, Precious. But you know what? You've reminded me. I need to do some homework on this issue. I heard that last week, And I kind of just, you know, nah, that's never going to happen. But now I've heard it twice. So I need to do some homework on this. You're right. That's wrong. That's scary.
Yeah, because there's the police union is supposed to vote on it August 1st. And I'm really hoping that they vote no.
They've got to vote no. I mean, they've got to vote no. I can't even fathom, again, I don't have all the details on this, but I can't fathom what part of that scenario would make sense for them, Precious. I can't. That's crazy.
Me either.
All right.
Me either.
Well, I thank you so much for calling and letting me know about that. That, Jeff, can you imagine, for the life of you, can you imagine, instead of getting a pension, you're going to get just a lump sum? Because, you know, we know what's going to happen. Let's say you get the job at 22. You work, you can go 20 and out. Let's say you can go 20 and out, 25 and out. Let's call it 25 and out. So you're 22. That now makes you, what, 47 years old. You can retire at 47. Now, there's nothing to say, Jeff, you can't go out and get another job, right? But can you imagine? That's your pension is this lump sum. What if you have medical expenses that kill you? You know, you're going to get a lump sum. People don't know how to save money. Can you fathom anybody doing that?
And that's the point that she made, is that there's the recruitment is going to be hurt by this. Who's going to sign up for something where that's it? You get like a, you know, basically a, it's almost like a small lottery ticket.
Well,
at the end of it, you get a small, I mean, I can't imagine it's going to be a lump sum where it provides for you for the rest of your life.
What's the incentive to stay? Let's say, you know, I know that I'm not going to get my retirement with the Detroit Police Department. Where's the incentive to stay? I'll work there for a couple of years, get experience, and move on, which is pretty much what folks are doing anyway. But where you know, there's something called institutional memory. And for those of you that don't know what that means, now this actually goes back to seniority. Folks that work there longer end up having an institutional memory. They're around long enough. They know what's going on. They know the system. They know the buildings. They know how things work. They know the neighborhoods. They know the good. They know the bad. You lose that. You lose that. You know, institutional memory is a critical, critical note that we keep forgetting about in politics, in the workplace. It's a very important piece of the overall information puzzle. And I can't fathom for the life of me why anybody would vote for that. I just can't. That blows my mind. I got to do some homework on that issue. I absolutely do.
How many times do you see people voting for the almighty dollar over things that you can't really put
The time.
You can't put a dollar amount on knowing your neighborhood, knowing the people. And, you know, here's a guy who invests his time and his heart and soul into this neighborhood. Well, you know, you don't see that on paper. You just see cop walking beat. We pay him this much. Well, you know, why don't we get somebody else new in there that we can pay less than?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, I totally get you're 100% right. That one blows my mind. I mean, that one just blows my mind. All right. Crazy, crazy. All right. Jerry, stay where you're at. We're coming up to you after the break. Jerry and Livonia, don't go anywhere. We'll come up after you. We've got the song of the day coming up. I've got my announcements, which I didn't get to yet. It's just been a crazy morning. Wow. A lump sum instead of a retirement. Don't do it. Detroit police officers, do not do it. You don't know what you're doing if you vote for that. And I got to get the information, but just on the surface, this smells wrong. 888-552-3595. We'll take the break. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
The hottest Michigan news talk is on First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic and the ladies loved you. Now you're tired, moody, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Try Ageless Male, a supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain normal levels. Feel that energy again and a healthy sex drive. Call to try Ageless Male risk-free. 1-800-854-0873. 1-800-854-0873. 1-800-854-0873.
Don't let gas prices slow down your summer fun. Get 5% cash back when you fill up and use your Discover card. Limitations apply. Learn more details and sign up at discover.com. It pays to get more. It pays to discover.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once, literally. I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, Detroit! Hey, Motor City, it's Mama talking to you. That's right, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Detroit. Yes, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour starring me, John Fugelsang, and Aisha Tyler hits the Detroit Opera House Saturday, August 20th at 8 p.m. Go to sexyliberal.com to get tickets or go right to the box office at Detroit Opera House. It's stand-up, it's panel, it's Q&A. It's a Sexy Liberal Town Hall. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show. Can't wait to see Detroit. Sexyliberal.com. Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. God bless Jerry. He's been a very patient man, been waiting on hold for 10 minutes now. Jerry, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I'd like to make a couple comments if I can. One of the first is commenting on one of your earlier callers. I believe it was Gina. I'm with Communication Workers of America, and previously I used to work for a bottling company, and I was with Teamsters. People always tend to think that management and union go into a meeting, and whatever comes out of that meeting is the union's fault, and they agreed with the management of the company. And that's not always the case. A lot of times the company will force an issue down the union's throat. They come out, give the information to the workforce, and they think it was endorsed by the union, and that's not always the case.
Fair enough.
So I just like people to be careful with that.
No, that's fair enough. I appreciate you actually bringing that up.
Yeah, and just the other comment on seniority, my father, he was with a company 25 years, had some heart problems. They had a big layoff. They started bringing people back from the layoff, but he was neglected to be called back. The union stepped in and said, no, this man has seniority. They brought him back. So that seniority is important as you reach your senior years and start reaching those years where you're thinking about retiring from a company.
Well, again, you know, this is what I love about the collective intelligence of this audience, Jerry. You bring good information, and I appreciate that. I mean, I really do. These are the kind of discussions we need to be having on the radio.
I love your show, and I love the education that you're laying out there on seniority and on unions and just how good they are. People don't realize, in my book, all you got to do is step back to a time before unions and look at what the working life was like, and we don't want to go back there.
Well, and people don't understand that, and they don't want to hear those stories, so let's just tell the stories that we know they want to hear. What's happening today, Jerry, and you just helped do that, so thank you very much.
Hey, can I make one more comment on the debt ceiling?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would like to say that I think these Republicans out there, a long time ago, they made a pledge of allegiance to the United States of America long before they signed a pledge with Mr. Norquist.
Yeah, well, I think they've forgotten that, Jerry, but I appreciate your comments, and, man, you got that right. all right, let's oh, man, you got me going. Now, let's go out to the next call, 888-552-3595. I want to welcome Grant, listening in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Grant, welcome to First Shift. I'm going to guess you're listening online this morning.
No, I'm actually in Detroit.
Well, good. Well, welcome
to
Detroit.
I delivered a load of aluminum to Henry Ford High School this morning.
Well, very good. Well, what's on your mind this morning?
First of all, I'd like to tell you a little bit about me. I've been in the trucking business 25 years. I've served in the Army twice and been deployed to a war zone twice.
Well, thank you for serving.
I'd like to say I've always voted Democratic my entire adult life, and the Democrats work against working people too sometimes, because President Obama and his administration just made the deal where Mexican trucks can come up here and run all over the United States, and in return I get the pleasure of driving into Mexico if I choose.
Yeah, this is problematic. I mean, you know, this is truly problematic. The president really needs to kind of Grant, reassess where his priorities are right now, because it does not seem to be very, very much of a Democrat these days.
I can't believe he did it, to be honest with you. You know, the Bush administration tried to do it the whole time that he was in, and the Democratic Congress blocked him from that particular deal on NAFTA. And then President Obama gets in there, and he signs it.
Yeah, again, this is just another one of those that makes no sense. Grant, I appreciate the phone call. You drive safely, thank you so much for joining the show this morning. And we're going to wrap it up with my good friend Barbie, who bought us some beautiful pies. Jeff and Todd Barbie's the one that bought the pie, the pie that I brought in for you.
So that was delicious.
Yeah, I just want to let you know that. Barbie, welcome to First Shift. How are you today?
I'm great, Tony. Good to talk to you. As you know, I'm a pissed off teacher. I'm sorry if I can't say that on radio.
Yeah, you already did, so we're good.
I'm victim of Snyder and the Republicans' legislation, as you know, and I wanted to talk about seniority. When it comes to teachers, senior teachers are the best teachers and the most effective teachers. And in our case, seniority really does mean something for quality of education.
Well, again, that's why it makes no sense that the Republicans did what they did with these 10-year bills by taking away seniority. And the worst part, Barbie, as you know, and I want to reiterate this for the audience, you can't even collective bargain on that issue anymore.
Not at all. In fact, we are at the whim of any administrator at this point. And that's a real problematic for us, because they changed the language, as you know, from just cause to capricious and arbitrary. And one is a lot, puts the burden of proof on the administrator, and the other puts the burden of proof on the victim.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that when we get a new state senate and a new state house, is one of the first things we need to do is some retroactive legislation to get rid of these tenure bills, these laws. You know, I can think of a handful of ones off the top of my head, Barbie. We just need to go ahead and reverse them as quickly as we possibly can. And so we've got to make sure that we stay focused on that. But I sure do appreciate your call this morning. I hope you're well.
Yep. In fact, I'm working hard on the Snyder recall campaign and taking a class at the same time to be an effective teacher.
Well, I'm sure you're already an effective teacher. You've been a good friend of this program, and I really did enjoy meeting you up in Lapeer.
Thanks a lot.
All right, Barbie. Thank you. You too. Yeah, just, you know, again, this is a teacher that shows up every day. You know, that's part of that, you know, get up, stand up book. It's part of, you know, standing up and then showing up. She's showing up. She's doing what she needs to do very quickly before we run out of time. Everybody that has recall petitions, they need to go back to the organizational unit where you got them from. So in St. Clair County, you need to bring them back to the Teamsters Hall. Wherever you're at, you need to bring them back to the organizer, and they need to be back. I got all kinds of emails during the show. I just didn't have time for announcements today, so I apologize for that. And very quickly, we got to do the song of the day yet. I hate to bury that, too, because Todd does such a nice job. Jeff, if you would, because I've shut down my screen already. What is the song of the day today?
Todd the Intern's
Song of the Day.
And I'm letting it be you. Radford, tell me what it is. Radford. Yeah. I don't. I said I turned my computer screen off.
No, I know. I heard you. I'm just letting the song play.
All right.
It's Aloe Black, and it's the song from the T-Mobile commercial, I think. Oh, no, Boost Mobile. Anyway, it's called I Need a Dollar.
Oh, and, man, oh, man.
And it perfectly fits with what we've been talking about with the postal workers and the debt ceiling. And
wow, just crazy. What a crazy day. The whole 3 hours was, I mean, you know, it wasn't a very positive day, and we got to do something about that, Jeff. It's not us. I mean, we've done nothing wrong. We're just reporting what's going on, but, man, do we need something positive to begin to happen?
I'm telling you what, tomorrow's another day, though. Yeah. We got a good show packed for tomorrow,
yeah,
too.
We do. We've got a very good show packed tomorrow. Hopefully we'll give some hope tomorrow. All right, that's it for me. For Todd, who is feeling a little better, and for Jeff, who is feeling great, and for Tony, who's feeling just fine, I want to thank all of you for listening to us today. And as always, I ask that you be well.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update, the last look, includes an accident southbound 75 near 11 Mile. Looks like we are backed up from 14 Mile Road, heading south near 11. The accident trying to clear as you head west on 696, approaching 275. An accident there on the right shoulder, adding to delays. Going south on 275, we have delays because of an earlier accident near 8 Mile. That's off to the shoulder.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, sunny skies, a high of 85. Tonight it'll be clear and 63. Tomorrow more sun and 85. Right now partly cloudy, 72 degrees at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us.